B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another week. It's a Monday version of the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic and on NBC Sports Philadelphia. A lot of things going on today. We might touch on all four sports today for the first time in a long time. This is going to be a four-for-four day. So let's start with the big team. And the big team is the Philadelphia Eagles. And the report that Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, has come out and given his organization an edict to build around Jalen Hurts. Now, I have absolutely no problem with that. I have no problem with him saying, let's build around the guy we have, because that's what they have. I don't think it's a big leap for the owner to come in and go, let's build around Jalen Hurts. Now, what that does is kind of suggest they're not going to take a quarterback with the sixth pick, which is good, which is I wanted all along. There's no reason for them to try to outthink themselves and go smarter than they really are by taking another quarterback at six. It doesn't really serve them. They got a quarterback now. Whether he's good enough, we'll find out. But there's no way they can evaluate the guy they would pick at six should be the starter. So you might as well go with the guy. You messed up the Wentz situation 100 different ways. That's the survivor, Jalen Hurts. So it's no big deal for me to have the owner say, let's build around him. It's logical. He's the quarterback now. Here's what I think is wrong with Jeffrey Lurie saying that. What's wrong with Jeffrey Lurie getting his mitts in sports evaluations is that he has no sports genes. He has none. And neither does Howie Roseman. But let's just stay with the owner, because the owner doesn't know what he doesn't know. A guy who has never played sports could never have the instincts as an owner to make judgments on sports people. There, I said it. I know you're going to disagree with that. Jeffrey Lurie, you have to be, okay, I don't know this for a fact. I don't think this man has even played Little League baseball in his life. All right. Now, I don't know that. Maybe he did. But I got a feeling he's one of these guys that never played a sport in his life, never played an organized sport, doesn't know what it's like to actually play a sport. Even if you've played at a high school level, you have some kind of semblance of what sports is about, what the sport is about, the intricacies of the sport, being coached by people who know the sport. This man has none of that. So how, like, and I've talked about this before. This is a guy that would look at maybe he'd watch a college football game on a Saturday, see Jalen Hurts with two great teams, not one, two great college programs, Alabama and Oklahoma, and go, boy, that guy's good. We have to have him. And that's the problem, because the man has no sports DNA to make an evaluation like that. We have heard the reason why they drafted Jalen Hurts is because the owner wanted them to draft Jalen Hurts. What did that do? It set off falling dominoes that made a mess of their quarterback situation, and now they look terrible. They have a terrible team. They have a terrible organization that they have to build now piece by piece by piece. A lot of it is because the owner had to meddle in there and said, we got to take Jalen Hurts. So while I agree with him on one viewpoint that, yeah, of course you have to build around Hurts. It would be foolish now not to build around the guy who's left. So it's no great revelation. My problem is this guy thinks he knows something, and that is a problem for me. Might not be a problem for you. It's a definite problem for me. It speaks to the future of this organization, I don't know where it's going from here. So, as I've said before, I don't know from Jalen Hurts. I don't think you know from Jalen Hurts either. I know there's a semblance of people out there that, through their own judgment, that think that Jalen Hurts could be a franchise quarterback. I don't know, maybe he can, but there's nothing that I have seen so far, and I would challenge you to tell me what you've seen that would indicate that he could be a franchise quarterback. And if he does, I go, hey, that's awesome. It worked out for him. So we'll talk about that. Now, let's talk about the Sixers in a really unusual situation. And it kind of took the starch out of the All-Star game. If you were a viewer of the All-Star game and you didn't have Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid on the floor, it felt empty. Now, I love the NBA All-Star Game. I love it. I know a lot of people don't like it. They think it's garbage basketball. I marvel. I look at that pace that they're playing at, and I go, this is fun. It's like a thrill ride watching an NBA All-Star Game to see what those guys can do. So I never get caught up in the lack of fundamentals in an All-Star Game as much as I like I enjoy the talent. I enjoy the ballet of it. So I really liked it. Now, what does it mean for the Sixers? It means that, you know, I don't know how long these guys are going to be out, and that's problematic. If you still want to stay in that first spot and you're without these guys for like six games, well, and it's a harder schedule coming up, well, that puts a damper in the progress of that. So we'll have to just wait and see and get updates on what's up with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons as far as the COVID protocol. Now, the Flyers, you know, I don't want to be a hypocrite here because I've always looked at how good this team is, and you can't overreact to one loss. But they have now lost a couple in a row to good teams. They wound up losing two or three of the Penguins, and they lose a big game last night at home for the first time with fans and didn't look like they had any starch, and that worries me a lot. So now I have gone from leave it alone, they're still a good team, to being slightly worried about their performance against good teams. And especially yesterday, where they come up with the L. So we'll talk about all this stuff today. And also, we'll talk about the royal family. First of all, Tyler Zuli in for Tyrone again today. Hello, T. If you're a hockey player, you'd be T. Zoll, right?
Yeah, that's what I got called growing up. That's what they call me.
Yeah, T. Zoll. It's T. Zoll with us today. And Natalie, hello, Nat.
Hello, Mike.
All right, so I just want to leave the I need people to explain something to me. Now, I don't quibble. I'm reading all this. I didn't watch the interview, but I'm reading all the aftermath of it. The Oprah's interview with Harry and Meghan Markle, the happy couple who are breaking away from the royal family. And she had a lot of damaging things to say about the royal family. And she kind of implied that, you know, a little racism. And there are people say, well, she's full of baloney. I don't know how you can actually judge Meghan Markle and say that her accusations of against the royal family were not genuine, and also her feelings about her mental health, where she said she felt like committing suicide. How do you sit in judgment if the person is telling you that? How do you say, no, that didn't happen? That's number one. But the biggest question I have is this. Why do we care about the royal family? I don't get it. I'm trying to get it. I don't understand the interest in what the royal family does. This is an institution. If you know this show, you know that I hate institutions like the royal family, who are this collection of human beings who have positioned themselves at a loftier level than the normal human being. So on its face, I detest it. And I don't understand. Like, we look at this and we go, are we surprised that they would have racial attitudes? Like, their whole thing is being better than everybody else and judging everybody else as lesser. This whole concept of royalty is that. So I don't get it. I don't understand it. And I'm looking for help here. Natalie, I'll go to you first. Why would people pay attention so much to an interview with some people that are breaking away from the royal family? And why are people interested in general in the royal family of UK?
I think there's some sort of, you know, like nostalgic glamour that surrounds it. You know, princes, princesses, queens, kings. Like, it's something I think that, you know, has kind of throughout history been a determining factor in the way the world has worked. So I think that there's some sort of like fascination there, but it's not, it doesn't hold the weight that it used to. And
well, apparently it does, because that broke records last
night. Right. But I mean,
viewership.
Right. But I mean, technically they don't hold any sort of like political influence anymore. It's more of just kind of, I think, setting the tone for appropriate behavior back in the day. But I don't think they are worthy of what they have now, especially the more that we've learned with what they did with Princess Diana and what they're doing to Meghan Markle. It's kind of like, it's like, well, we don't act that way anymore. So they shouldn't get the attention that they deserve.
All right. Maybe people can explain it to me. I look at it. This is the year 2021. And in today's world, Royalty of the British Empire, I don't know, it's kind of irrelevant. I mean, I don't really care what happened 1,000 years ago when kings ruled Britain. I don't care. We're like,
yeah,
there's no connection to me.
I mean, I think it's just, you know, they ruled the world at one point, and now there's, again, I think it's just some, like, nostalgic, like, glamour around it, and, you know, the way that they live, and by all these rules, and etiquette, and, like, all that stuff, but I don't know if it's, if they're, no, they don't deserve it anymore.
Their time has come and gone, just like a lot of things that happened in the world today that were relevant years ago, like the Mongols and the, you know, the, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the Renaissance. It's all gone. It's over.
Yeah.
All right. I think it's me. Tyler, is it me?
No, I have no interest in the royal family. Like the thing that has more interest is like the humane people side of this, where, like you said, you know, they had a
good run.
Yeah, well, I mean, strictly those two, where they said that the royal family treated them poorly. There was racism in their ranks. They have every, you know, like who are we to say, oh no, you didn't. You know, it's like.
I expected they would have racism in their ranks. That's what they are. They're supposed to be better than you. That's what their whole thing was.
So what I'm saying is I care more for the human side of this interview and to see if the two are okay than I care at all about the royal family, you know, British, English side of the interview.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it. I don't understand it. There were so many things on TV last night. The last thing I didn't even know that was on.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at Twitter and I'm going, my God, Ali Fraser 1 is on. The Flyers are on.
Yeah.
The NBA All-Star Night was on. I didn't have time for the Royals.
Didn't you see? I mean, it's uncanny how much him and Carson Wentz look alike, though. Prince Harry, Carson Wentz. Two have never been seen together. Just saying.
Yeah. 610-632-0975 is how you climb into the show today. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
And we'll never be royals. It's the one in our blood.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
We'll never be royals. And in fact, they're not even royals anymore. They're just... Go ahead, Lord. 2 o'clock hour. I'm a Lord fan. Now, how about you?
Yeah, I like her, too.
You like her?
Yeah. She hasn't come out with anything recently, has she?
No, she's been in slumber.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what's going on with her. Anyway, the 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lion Conklin, attention HVAC contractors for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Visit one of Ferguson's counter locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester today. Let's start our Twitter poll. Why don't we? The Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. I don't know if you're thinking of a snowblower now because you think you're out of the snow area, but you want to grab one now because it's probably lower price. Just tip you off. Lower price for next winter. And you get it at Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown. They've got parts. They've got a full service repair shop. Your snowblower is on the blink. You just visit them in person or check them out online at paulbmoyer.com. What is today's Twitter poll, Natalie?
Alrighty, Mike. Over 100 votes on this one early. Do you have more confidence in the Eagles this upcoming draft now that it appears they won't draft a quarterback? 38% say yes, more confidence. 62% say no, still Howie Roseman.
All right, and you know, the word is today that they're looking to trade Brandon Brooks. That's not a bad move. You know, these guys that I talked about last week, the best case scenario is that the whole right side, including a center, can preserve their health And I think once guys get banged up like that, except for Kelsey, I don't know if they're ever going to be the same. So I think a proactive move would be okay. You're not going to be any good anyway. The one thing is you want to protect Hurts with the best offensive line you can. The other thing is you're not going to win that much anyway, so you might as well just completely rebuild and start to move on some older players who have been injured. So we'll see. But there's no question in my mind that Jalen Hurts should be the quarterback they go forward with. My problem is that the owner's judgment should not be involved. I'm sorry. 610-632-0975. A little later in the show, also, I'm gonna rehab the NBA skills competitions.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I've been screaming to do this for a while now. I have a great idea to change the dunk contest and the skills competition. What is that skills competition? I'll waste my time with that. That's not skills. What are you doing?
Well, it's like flashy.
It's ridiculous.
Like chest passes
dribbling through cone, trying to hit a net with a chest pass, and then making a layup. What? Come on. And a three-pointer? I'll revamp the whole skills thing, all right? No big man will ever win it again, because no big man should. No big man should win this skills competition.
You're not going to let Joel be in it?
When I'm talking about skills, no. Well, he might be in it. He's the only one, though. You know, I'm tired of the Vuceviches of the world being in the skills competition. That's not skill. You got to get the best all-around player. A basketball player is an all-around basketball player. That's why forwards and guards are essential, because they can do everything. Big men can't. Get them out of that skills competition. All right, let's go to the phones. Mike in Sicklerville. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Pretty good. You were talking about hockey nicknames, uh-huh. And I would like to give you three my personal nicknames for you. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead. We weren't really right. Talking about hockey nicknames. I just called my man Tyler Zuli T. Zool. I'm like, all right, go ahead.
I'll go with Tyler Zuli. We'll just go with Zools.
Zools would work.
All right, for Natalie, I got two. Either Natty or Eggs.
Yeah.
And then for you,
Eggsy.
For you, Mike,
Eggsy. Yeah, it was.
I got the best one.
What?
Missile.
Oh yeah, I like Missile.
There you go.
Missile.
I actually had that nickname early in my playing days.
That makes sense.
Yeah. They,
I was going to the Flyers.
Not that I was fast afoot. It more came from the arm.
Yeah.
But that's all right.
Watching the third period of that last Penguins game,
mm-hmm.
I kind of knew that the Flyers-Capitals game, I knew the Flyers were going to gas out because they just looked gassed in the third period.
They did.
In that Penguins game. Yeah. And I mean, six games in nine nights. That's...
All right, so you're not going to hold it against them last night. I thought they would be able to get some home crowd energy, but they didn't really get it.
But, I mean, you saw in the first period, I mean, they dominated the first period.
They did, but then they should run out of gas.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they did. They ran out of gas. That Washington team, they had to jump on them.
Oh, yeah, and they did. I mean, credit Washington, and I mean, mm-hmm. credit Ilya Samsonov, their goaltender.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought he stole them the game.
Yep.
But I think Chuck Fletcher has a little bit of pressure on him right now.
To make a deal?
To make a deal.
Yeah.
They need to add a top four defenseman to play with Ivan Provorov, because it seems like ever since, I mean, essentially the start of this year, he doesn't look like the same player without Matt Niskanen.
No, you're absolutely right about that. He has had a very quiet year, and he's a good player. Like I said, I thought they were a good team. I don't like the fact that they ran out of gas in the end, because what are they going to do in a playoff series? You're going to run out of gas? That team last year was relentless, the way they played. And this team doesn't look as relentless. So the two, I hope I'm not overreacting to two games, because I'm one that says don't overreact. But Atlanta lost two in a row to good teams that outplayed them over the second part of the game. And that's not good. Richard, North Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Richard.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Rich?
About the interview last night, I watched it. The only thing I think is, see, Meghan Markle is a woman of color.
Mm-hmm.
See, that makes a difference. And so I think that might have something to do with why she was having so much trouble. Like you talked about the racism that she experienced there.
Well, of course. Wouldn't you expect that from a society that thinks they're loftier than other people in general?
Yes.
That kind of thing, that's why I don't pay attention to them. I go, who the hell are you to have the Buckingham Guards? You know, like I can use a couple guards in my house. I don't get them.
Right. Amen. I hear that. Now, this is an iconic event that happened 50 years ago, the Ali Frazier fight, the first one.
Yeah.
Now, I recently hosted the fight of the century. And what made it so special is that when it was coming out of the 60s and all into the 70s, you know, and like the Ali just getting back in the boxing not long ago, and Frazier now, you know, coming up in the ranks, you know. And so Ali, you know, being a person he is, you know, shares a lot of things, calling Frazier Uncle Tom and things that he used to fight for the white man and like this to try to get some, you know, to make the fight bigger than what it is.
Yeah.
And I think that the Frazier family resented him for that.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, listen, that was a phenomenon when, like, cause he could have, he just came out of retirement, right? And he could have, what do guys do when they haven't fought in a long time? They fight tomato cans, right? They come in slowly, they beat a couple guys, they get their legs back. My man goes right into the ring with, Joe Frazier was a beast. And in that fight, he just poured punches on Ali. And it goes 15 rounds and you go, man, how did they do that? You just don't see that anymore. It was phenomenal. And you got Frank Sinatra at ringside and every celebrity in the house looking at the fight. Frank Sinatra weasels his way, gets a press pass because he's taking photos for Life magazine.
Yeah.
Couldn't get a seat. So he had a press pass.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it really is. That whole thing, I mean, I remember I was very young when it happened, but it was a world phenomenon when Ali came back. And just got beat up in that fight. All right, 610-632-0975. Greg and Beth, PA. What's up, Greg?
Hey, Mike.
It's Bethlehem. It's Greg and Bethlehem. Okay, go ahead.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
sorry,
my bad.
That's all right. You're coming around to my a little bit of my concerns on the
flyer hate for you. Yeah, you've been hating for a long time. You had premature hate on the Flyers, but now that they've lost two like that, and you know, here's the thing: the young goaltender has not played like he did last year.
No,
I know they're letting him out to dry a lot, but he was impenetrable last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of those goals. I mean, I'm not sure what's going on. I really think that the earlier caller that talked about Niskanen, I think that might have been the glue that helped hold the defense together because they looked discombobulated. You know, there are a lot of passes into the skates. Hazy last year, the puck would stick to him like glue, and this year, you know, not so much. I don't know exactly what's going on there, but I mean they need some help.
They do. I agree. I listen, you're convincing me. I didn't like what I saw last night.
I mean, size and puck handling, you know, they can't skate anybody off the puck. You know, most other teams, if you're bringing it up the boards, you know, you got to get rid of the puck before the guy creams you.
Yeah.
And Flyers really don't have that capacity too much.
Yeah. I got you, Greg. I don't know what to tell you. They're scheduled. You know, they're coming up on some tougher games. We'll get more of an indication, but that last night was not good. You got to win that game at home. First-time fans, you got to have the energy to win that game.
Yeah. I mean, they ran out of gas, unfortunately. But, you know, hopefully Fletcher's got something in his back pocket as far as a trade or free agent or somebody.
We'll see. Maury and Fletcher. The heat is on both of them right now. 610-632-0975. You know, I'm going to give you a reminder. The Fanatics Bracket Challenge is back. That's right. $1 million Bracket Challenge. will start next Monday. Perfection. A perfect bracket could win you $1 million. That's right. All you have to do is go to our website. It's 975thefanatic.com and fill out your bracket. Someone is guaranteed to win $1,000, but a perfect bracket will win you $1 million. Now, as far as I know, this has never happened in the history of Earth that someone's got a perfect bracket, right?
Yeah, I don't think anybody ever has.
Okay. So, like, why wouldn't it be you? Especially this year. It's hard to predict. And so maybe like your wild guesses this year will pay off and you'll win $1 million.
I think your best bet this year is to ride with the senior laden teams, the teams that have a lot of veteran experience.
Yeah. And I know Villanova's not going to be one of them, unfortunately.
I don't think so. Not without Gillespie.
I thought early in the year they had a chance that they haven't played up to that level. So I don't believe this will be a Final Four year for the Cats.
No, I think that, honestly, there's probably only about four or five teams that can truly win this thing.
Yeah. All right. 610-622-0975. So Eagle fans are, I don't know. I don't know how our Eagle fans supposed to react to Lori coming in here. Are we supposed to be upset about this, Tyler?
I don't think so. Because I think that this is the right way to go about things. Because if you don't let Jalen Hurts be the starter, you're going to put yourself and your organization right back in the same situation you did with Carson Wentz a season ago, where you've got a quarterback who is looking over his shoulder trying to decide if he still has job security or not.
Yeah. Like I said, my problem is not with Lori saying this. My problem is Lori, the owner, choosing people. That's my problem with this whole thing.
So do you feel like it's almost Lori like meddling at this point?
Well, he by all accounts, is the one that wanted Hurts. And didn't realize, because he's not a sportsman, what that would have done to the guy he already had. So that's my problem is, if he thinks he knows what he's doing, then that's bad for all Eagle fans. Because no owner with no sports mentality should be picking players or advising talent. You should stay the hell out.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he's just so out of touch, clearly, that he didn't see what was going to happen last year. And now then he's saying, oh, no, well, now this is our guy, because he has to go back and save face for that? Because he messed it up so badly? I don't trust a thing that organization does. I don't care, you know, whether it's him or Howie Roseman.
What?
They could tell me the sky's blue, and I'd be like, no, it's definitely purple
and
today.
That's the thing. There is such a lack of trust right now with these guys. And actually, Lori said the right thing today with Hurts, but he did the wrong thing by choosing him in the first place. So that worries me more than anything. All right. Let's go to Tom in Philly. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Tom?
First of all, I don't give one fig about the royal family of the United Kingdom.
A lot of people give figs.
Yeah. Well, here's one thing I'd like to educate some of these people that care. This present royal family, the Windsor family, they're pretenders anyway. They don't even belong there. Anybody who goes back through history will know that William and Mary were brought over there to replace the Stuarts, who are the rightful royal family, of which there is a prince now in Austria who would be the rightful, if we continued the line correctly, he would presently be there. So these people are just pretenders to begin with. They don't even,
I don't even know any of that. That's how disinterested I am.
Well, it's called the Jacobites. Uh-huh. The Jacobites, Bonnie Prince Charlie, James I, the second. In other words, they were Scottish kings. And because they were Scots, the English got upset and they brought in a bunch of Germans to run things.
Uh-huh.
That's cut to the chase. Number two, though, and maybe much more importantly, is that I am happy that Ben and Joel are not playing in this foolish exhibition game. These all-star games have gotten I don't care what the sport is, they're all nonsense in which no defense is being played.
Oh, I love them. Now, why would you want defense being played? It's an exhibition. It's like, don't you marvel at the speed of that game last night and the way those guys got up and down the court? You think that's
especially
easy?
Especially when there's nobody in the way.
It's breathtaking athleticism. There's nothing wrong with an all-star game. As long as you don't make it like it's supposed to be a real game. Just enjoy the athleticism.
How about football? You like that one?
Well, no, football's ridiculous because football needs contact. And if you're not going to have contact, you don't really have a game. You might as well put flags in their pocket, which I would be okay with, by the way. I'd love to have them play flag football.
Do you like the hockey game?
Love the hockey game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, up and down the ice. There's no defense. It's them against the goalie. I love them.
In baseball, that used to be a real game.
Yeah, that's the purest all-star game.
That's the purest all-star game, but now they only let the players play two innings. They used to really play to win back in the day.
They want to get guys back in the game.
That's more important than winning.
Of course it is. Why wouldn't it be? Who cares who wins? Do you really care who wins in an all-star game?
I don't care who wins in an all-star game, and that's why I'm glad Ben and Joel are not playing, because I do care that the Sixers win.
Okay, well, you're suggesting they would have got hurt, but they're out anyway.
Oh, no, there's a chance.
Well, why would you not want them in the game? It's a way to show off your city and your team.
There's a chance of getting hurt in a game.
Come on, Tommy. You gave me three fuddy-duddy reasons today. Normally, you're on board.
I'm not on board with all-star games, period.
All right, I don't... What is wrong with an all-star game? Can somebody tell me? I hear all this bitching and moaning about all-star games. Just enjoy the game for what it is.
And that's the thing.
It's not game seven of a playoff series. It's just a fun thing.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with it as long as you can take it from just it's a pure entertainment standpoint. Like the moment they dropped the winner of the all-star game gets game one and game two of the World Series, then it became another entertaining value, and that's why, like you said, guys play two innings. A pitcher throws one inning. You want to see different guys that you don't get a chance to see all that often.
Yeah, plus, you don't want to ground them into the ground.
Right, for pitchers. One game.
Right. I loved that game last night. I love the NBA All-Star game. I know there's a lot of people. I read on social media how much it's hated. But I'm going, holy God, this pace is amazing. They're going up and down in lightning speed.
Yeah,
what's wrong with that?
I think the biggest difference was it's fair to say that the game probably shouldn't have been played for safety reasons.
Well, once
you watch it, you're watching it for entertainment. You're watching the 24 best NBA players in the world, things that are incredible.
A 45-foot jump shot by Curry, that wasn't fun to watch? I mean, the way those guys are getting up and down the court throwing alley-oops, the way guys are running at that kind of pace, breathtaking to me.
No, I agree. I think it's just it's entertainment and it's fun to watch.
All right. Here's my, on the other side, I'll give you my rehab of the dunk contest and the skills competition, which I like. In fact, I love the NHL skills competition. I like skills competitions. Just make it a skills competition. Put skills on the floor. 610-632-0975. There's no skills. And you can take anybody from the stands to dribble through cones. Come on. Mike Missinelli Show. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I'm still looking for some people who can enlighten me about why you find the royal family interesting. And I get chastised. Yeah, listen to you. I want to learn. I'm totally befuddled by this whole thing. It's like the royal family to me is like 8-track tapes. The time is here and they'll never come back again.
Right.
They're gone forever. And that's the way I look at the royal family. It's gone forever. And the days of us being ruled by kings and queens and worshiping kings and queens who could behead you, it's over. We're civilized. We're more civilized than that. And nations have grown in a different way.
Yeah, I think there's also some sort of mystique around it. But now with social media and with, you know, the people not being afraid to tell the story is why. It's like they want to crave the information to find out what the truth is about them. Because you've heard all these horrible things about the royal family for years.
Uh-huh.
And then it's finally someone is going to step up to the plate and tell the truth about them. You know?
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's why, too. Because when with Princess Diana and everything she went through, you know.
But didn't we know that this is a family that their whole bloodline is to be judgmental?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we knew. But it's for one of them to finally step outside, say, I'm leaving this life, and then tell the truth about it, I think is what's, I think, even more intriguing to people. Because nobody ever got the chance to do that. And the last person who did, you know, was killed. She died, you know?
Yeah, I get it. All right. 610-622-0975. All right. For a long time, I've offered my services to revamp the All-Star Weekend. Because it's just nonsense now, the skills competitions and the dunk competition. It's not even interesting anymore. So how do you make it interesting? Well, to bring out the NBA's best dunkers instead of people that we don't even know about, you have to give them incentive. Now, the one thing that incentivizes NBA players is competition. So my whole thing was to have high school dunkers who are amazing. If you look at social media videos, college dunkers who are also amazing, and NBA, and you face all of them off against each other and make it a competition, then NBA goes, we're not going to get beat by a high school kid, and the best dunkers come out. Well, yeah, now what is the problem with that idea? It's the greatest idea ever. High school, college, pro, you line them all up, and he's high school kid. Just imagine if a high school kid wins, how interesting would that be? The rooting interest for a high school kid to win the dunk contest will be off the charts.
Oh, people would flock to watch that. Can I see a 17-year-old take down Zach LaVine?
Exactly, and a lot of them can. I've seen the videos. Make it interesting. Where's the innovation with these people?
I'd watch that one.
Now,
sure.
I know there might be some, I don't know. It's an exhibition. I don't know what legal hurdles you'd have to clear. There couldn't be any compensation. I understand all that. Just make it a competition. Like, it wouldn't be an extra benefit. You get the NCAA on board, and, you know, I think it would enhance the dunk contest.
Well, and I think, too, you're getting into a territory where the NCAA is going to allow players soon to get that NIL money.
Mm-hmm.
And once the NIL deal clears, they could make money from this dunk contest.
Yeah, but I don't need them to make money. I just think the kids would love to be on that stage.
Oh, for sure.
Right? I don't, and I'm not looking at like we're exploiting the kids. Those kids would love to be in an NBA All-Star Weekend competition, right? College and high school.
I mean, those are their playing heroes.
Tell me what's wrong with that idea. There's nothing wrong with that idea. It's a brilliant idea. People won't do it. No thinkers in the NBA. So now here's the skills competition. Oh, I'm watching this. It's the same thing. You go in a straight line and you weave in and out of cardboard cutouts, and you don't even have to do it that fast. Kind of a skills competition is that? You got to make one chest pass into a basket, and then you come down the other end, and you make a layup, and then you get down the other, and you have to make a three-pointer? That's skills? Make it a skills count. Here it is. You ready? You get a machine on top of the backboard. The machine shoots the basketball off the rim. You got to get the rebound, okay? That's a skill. Rebounding the basketball. Turning and throwing an outlet pass to some pitchback mechanism, boom, boom, and then you run to half court, somebody passes you the ball at half court, then you gotta dribble past defenders and get to the basket and make a layup or a dunk, whatever you want to do, and then on the way back down the court, instead of making that layup, you make a medium-range jump shot, and after you make that, you go to the three-point line and you make the three-point, and it's all timed. Now, I got every skill in the book there. I got the rebound, I got the outlet pass, I got the catch on the pass and dribble off the bounce to get to the basket. I got all the skills. What's wrong with that?
I think to take it a step further, you should have to do it in front of real defenders, too.
That's what I said. Real defenders.
Ben Simmons, Lou Dort.
Yeah, now you have to. They're not trying to steal the ball. They're just moving laterally. Right. But you got to be able to dribble past them and get to the basket on a layup or a dunk. And then next time down, you get back and you pop shot. Boom. And see, that eliminates big men. Get out. You don't have that skill. And it's all timed. Now, what's wrong with that idea? What, is it going to take 7 hours to complete that? It'll be quick.
I'm in on that one, too. I think that's a good one.
How come there are no thinkers in the NBA like me, Tyler?
Can we get you to write a letter?
It's so hard to think about stuff like that. How can we enhance the dunk contest? Well, we'll bring somebody's father out, and he'll jump over him for a dunk. I've seen it 100 times now. All right, let's juice it up by juicing up the competition of it. That's what the essence of it is. And that's the skills comp. Let's make it skills that you do in a game.
I think the dunk contest would be the hardest to change. Because I'm not quite sure what else you can do.
They already did the car thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The only thing that works now is the intrigue of the competition, younger versus college versus pro.
That would be really cool. Maybe they'll listen to you.
They're not going to listen to me. I've been screaming about this for like 5 years.
Somebody out there is listening now. Especially
so
if they're
fundamental. Like what? These planners of the NBA All-Star Weekend. Like what? What are they doing? They just go through the motions.
They're watching the royal family interviews. That's what they're doing.
This skills competition's embarrassing.
We got to get Adam Silver on the line.
All right. Well, we're lighting on lines today for some reason. I mean, it's normally heavy on a Monday after a weekend of stuff. So Flyer fans are mum. Eagle fans are mum. They have no reaction to Jeffrey Lurie coming out and saying Jalen Hurts. If you agree with it, you have to have a reaction.
I feel like they're just over it.
There's no intrigue anymore? There's no interest in the Eagles?
I mean, they've been completely decimated. So it's like, and then you have people, you know, the reports that Brandon Brooks is being, you know, traded and Zach Ertz is leaving. It's kind of like, we don't even know what we're going to get. And I think that the fans, I feel like they're just over it right now. That's what I think. Because I feel over it.
Yeah.
Like, I saw that this morning, and I'm like, oh, great, okay, thanks.
So it didn't really matter to you that much?
No, because I mean, it's just them attempting, in my opinion, to save face, and it's not, and it doesn't work. It's not going to work.
Listen, people always give me this. They go, well, the owner's entitled to do what he wants to do. Well, yeah, but he's doing it at your expense. And that's what I say. Like, yeah, of course, I understand what capitalism is. He owns the team, he can do whatever he wants. But it's a dangerous thing for a guy who's not a sportsman. Like, even if I was in Dallas, I go, all right, that guy's a kook, but at least he has some kind of idea what football's about. He played at a high college level, right? He knows about the sport. I feel like Jeffrey Lurie doesn't know about the sport. He's never played sport in his life. He has no instinct. So what's he looking at? When he looks at Jalen Hurts on a Saturday playing for Oklahoma, what's he looking for? What can he possibly determine?
Jerry Jones has also drafted extremely well over the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, how many owners really meddle? They allow their people to do it. And if this guy actually was the guy that selected Jalen Hurts based on him watching a Saturday football game, then I got a problem with that. Because I don't think he's going to stop there. 610-632-0975. We'll get to a break. 3 o'clock hour is ahead. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
3 o'clock hour of the Mike Mussinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly. The 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Corpley's Bakery and Deli. That's right. And they have that wonderful, famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays and anything else you want over there at Court Police. All right, so I'm reading a lot of on social media that I hate All-Star Games. I don't. People have to explain to me why they hate All-Star Games. There are two things I need answers. Why do you care about the royal family? Two, why do you hate All-Star Games? Like,
I think people just complain to complain anymore, I swear.
But there are people also saying that Lurie's entitled to judge players because he's owned the team for 15 years. He's owned it for more than that, actually. So you're telling me that because he owns the team, he knows the intricacies of football enough to be able to select players? I don't know. I don't think you have any instincts at all when you have never played sports. I just don't. I think you have to have played a sport to have some kind of an idea on how sports works. You know, it's going head-to-head. It's competition. It's skill. It's being coached. It's listening to people on what works and what doesn't work. It's probably a snobby way of looking at it, but that's just the way I feel. If you don't have any instincts for sports, how do you then know what you're looking for?
Well, that, and also I think when it comes to managing interpersonal relationships, which they clearly don't know how to do at all. You know, it's like, how am I supposed to trust all of that and then for you to effectively manage it when you just blew the whole thing up?
Yeah.
And then just trust going forward that that's not going to happen again?
You know, it's funny.
You're a quarterback factory, and then you're not a quarterback factory. What are you even talking about?
This is Mortensen report. So I'm on Lurie's side if that's what he has told people. He wants to build around Hurts because I'm okay with that. I think that's what you should do. Now, as far as what do I think about Hurts, I don't know. I don't think he can't play, and I don't think that he's a franchise quarterback because I just haven't seen enough. And I can't go by the fact that he was fairly successful on great college teams. I don't know. That's where talent evaluators have to come in because they know what they're looking for. And talent evaluators go, either he's got it or, nah, I don't think he's got it. But that shouldn't be Lurie.
Well, no,
that's all I'm saying.
And they ignored the talent evaluators last year with the draft.
Yeah.
They completely ignored them.
You know, the fact that the owner wanted them to take this guy in the second round, his lack of instincts did not realize what that was going to do and what it was, a fallen domino that was going to, you know, cause all this mayhem they're in now. So, you know, to me, that's an example of why he should stay out. But then again, I'm looking at the other guy, the general manager doesn't have any sports instincts either. He never played a sport in his life.
No, and he was making personnel decisions. Great.
Gotta have some kind of an idea.
One of the things that Natalie, Tyrone, and I talked about the one day was the second round selection. And going back to 2010, Natalie, what was it, like 11 or 12 quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Every single one of them started for the team that they were selected for at some point. Now, granted, one of them was Christian Hackenberg. He was terrible.
Uh-huh.
But like, to some extent, these guys started for the teams that were drafted by them. This was never going to end in any other way except for Jalen Hurts being the starting quarterback at some point.
Yeah, see, I look at it, and Anthony and I were talking about this a little bit when he got out of the studio about evaluating Jalen Hurts. And a lot of people were, well, look what Kyler Murray is. Well, Kyler Murray is a lot faster and quicker than Jalen Hurts, and he's got a better arm than Jalen Hurts. And it's tough for that kid to play in this league.
He was also the number one overall pick.
Yeah, but he's also struggling. Like, he's not an instant success. He's made some plays, but he's a much more talented player than Jalen Hurts, and I still don't know about Kyler Murray. So I am looking at Jalen Hurts like, what are you looking at? What are you seeing that makes him a franchise quarterback? That being said, that's all they got. They stripped themselves down bare to the point where that's what they've got, and anybody they could take at six is not going to be better than Jalen Hurts at this point.
No, especially considering the fact that we expect at least two quarterbacks to be selected, and potentially three by the time they pick at six.
Yeah.
You're thinking about the fourth best quarterback. Like, is Mac Jones better than Jalen Hurts? I don't think so.
No, at this stage, no, I wouldn't say. But maybe he's got more potential. That's where an Italian veteran comes in. He goes, no, I think he will be better than Hurts because of this, right? Guys that are experienced. Now, I'm not saying that they're the be-all, end-all. I'm just saying that they have they would know a little more than an owner who's watching Saturday football. That's all I'm saying. All right. So I caught a couple movies this weekend.
Oh, what'd you watch?
Well, I saw Coming to America.
Oh, what did you think?
Well, it's watchable. It's not a great movie, but I didn't expect it to be a great movie.
Right.
It's, you know, it's... one thing he did is that he did go back to some things he knew worked in Coming to America.
Okay.
Which is the barbershop scene with all the characters.
Right.
Which was the funniest, well, one of the funniest parts of Coming to America. He goes back to that, and then he goes back to the character where the Randy Watson character.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I saw mixed reviews about it online. Some people loved it, some people hated it.
It's not lovable.
Right, okay.
You know, it's not, it's not a great movie. It's just, it's a pleasant movie to watch. You know, it's not going to hurt you.
Right.
But it's not going to go, you're not going to go, wow, it's really good.
Yeah.
All right. The other one was, and I highly recommend this. It kind of came out of nowhere for me. It's only because I saw that the actress Rosamund Pike won the Golden Globe for Best Actress for this movie. It's called I Care a Lot. Now, I didn't really know what it was about, so I flip it on in Netflix. And it's wild, man.
I'm excited to see it.
This movie is wild.
Yeah.
Beyond my expectations, wild.
That's great.
I'm not going to spoil it for you, but it's the premise is she's a legal guardian appointed by the court to handle the affairs of the elderly.
Okay.
Who can allegedly no longer function properly on their own.
Okay, like a conservatorship type of thing?
Yeah, she has a business. That's her business. And so the court appoints her to take over the affairs of an elderly person.
Okay. And then it goes from there?
That's the premise.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a dark comedy, but serious.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of fat. The music in it and the way they shoot it, it's a kind of a thrill ride, sort of.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
I would recommend that.
Well, yeah. And
I Care a Lot.
I texted you Friday because I watched that, the Chicago 7.
Yes.
The Trial of the Chicago 7, which was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Aaron Sorkin wrote that.
Yeah, because that was the Golden Globe one, too, right? That was a nominee.
He won.
Oh, he won?
Yeah, he won for screenplay.
Right, okay.
Chicago 7.
Yeah, and Sacha Baron Cohen was amazing in that.
Yeah,
I thought he was great.
He was Jerry Rubin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good because I remember the history of that whole thing. And I was telling you that because Bobby Seale was also on trial, who was a member of the Black Panthers, head of the Black Panthers at the time. And they literally bound and gagged him in the courtroom.
That was insane.
Because of his outburst. The judge, a racist judge, ordered him bound and gagged. And hence, this song by Crosby, Stills, and Nash, they were very revolutionary at the time.
Right.
They have a song called Chicago. Tyler, you would know nothing about this, right?
So,
it's a grand Nash thing.
Yeah.
So your brother's bound and gagged, and they've chained him to a chair. Yeah, that's Chicago. And that's about Bobby Seale being chained in the Chicago 7.
Unbelievable.
All right. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Nate in West Philly. Nate, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Nate?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Nate?
Me and everybody else.
How you doing, bud?
The All-Star Game.
Yes.
Don't like it. Don't like it one bit.
You don't like it?
Nope.
What's wrong with it?
The main thing that's wrong with it, Mike, is it's supposed to be East and West. Now, Ben was supposed to be on the West squad and Embiid on the East. That, to me, is not right because you want to cheer for your team and they separate it?
Yeah, no. I don't understand what the idea behind that was. I didn't like that. That's the one part I don't like. I like the Western Conference versus the Eastern Conference because it gives a semblance of competition.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, it's schoolyard. Me and you go and pick a team.
Yeah, I don't like that part of it. But Nate, the way those guys get up and down the floor was fun to me.
It is fun because it's just like the hockey All-Star game. Nobody ain't trying to defend nobody. Everybody just run and shoot gun.
Yeah, that's fun. For one night, I can like that.
Yeah, but Mike, I like the dunks. I like the 3-point shot. But the game, I can't get. It's just like if I wanted to bet on the team, How can I bet on?
What do you want to bet on a game like that for anyway? Why would you bet on a game like that?
Like you said, for fun.
Well, see, I look at it like I'm watching a movie. It's the same. Like if I'm watching a comedy and I'm satisfied with the comedy part of it because it's like that's why I watched the All-Star game. It was fun for me to watch. I loved watching that pace.
No, but I just don't like that that separation of players and stuff like that.
They tried to actually make it more schoolyard, but that's like when you choose up sides, the captain picks. But I agree with you. I don't know what was wrong with the East versus the West.
Wow, what 300 some points?
Yeah, well, of course. I expected those guys to score that many points, put 170 on the board. That's fun to me.
All right, Mike. Thanks a lot.
All right, man. People judge it like they're expecting a serious game, but it's not. You should know that going. It's not a serious game. It's just, hey, watch these guys. They're on display. They get up and down. It's unbelievable.
It's a video game.
The way they can shoot and score and handle and get up and down the floor is amazing to me.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's like we said, it's literally the 24 or 28 best players in the world getting to do what they do best in an open, like a open space, like spacing setting, with the floor is spaced.
Yeah.
There's not man-to-man front-up defense. I think it's so much fun to watch.
I loved it. I couldn't keep my eyes off it. I really couldn't until a couple other things came on, and when it wasn't the Royal interview.
Was it a 3-1 loss?
You know, I was reading that they didn't have to pay to get that interview. However, somebody paid Oprah's company $7 million to get the rights to it or something, to be able to rebroadcast it or something.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's unbelievable.
So Oprah made $7 million clean out of it for Harpo Productions, and they didn't have to pay the Royals anything for sitting down.
That's insane. I heard that, you know, she did a fantastic job. Everybody was raving about how Oprah handled it. Because in the past, I guess, some of the interviewers had been a little bit more accusatory, and she kind of just let, you know, Meghan and Harry talk.
I didn't realize that Meghan had been married before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know anything about her other than she's American.
Yeah.
And her father's a European, right?
Yeah, I think her father's European. But yeah, because she was an actress before.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I don't recall ever seeing her in
anything.
She was in, it was that Suits?
She was in Suits,
yeah.
I didn't watch Suits. I just now know that she was in Suits.
Yeah.
She was in commercial, too, I think.
Yeah.
So and then, how did he meet her?
I feel like, I thought that they met in Las Vegas, but I could be wrong. Where did they meet? Hold on. I forget where they met. But yeah, I mean, he met her and fell in love. And I remember it was like tumultuous when they first met, too, because the British family wanted him to marry another British woman, like how William did with Kate Middleton. But let me see where they met. Oh, no, you know what it was? It was a blind date.
It was a blind date?
Yes, that's what it was. Yeah. Was they were introduced by a mutual friend, and she had no idea that she was going out with the Prince of England.
Was she married twice?
I don't think so.
I think she had, like, two relationships. I was reading. I don't know if she was married in one of them, but she was with this actor guy for a while before the marriage.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you knew all about this.
No, I mean, I kind of stopped paying attention to it.
Oh, you did?
So here's a quote from...
She went to Northwestern.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Here's a quote from their first date. She says, quote, "We met for a drink, and then I think very quickly into it, we said, well, what are we doing tomorrow? We should meet again."
Yeah.
Apparently they...
hit it off.
Yeah, very quickly.
Her father was the director of photography and lighting for Married with Children.
Interesting. Did you like that show?
No.
No.
No,
that doesn't surprise me.
It wasn't one of my go-to shows. I mean, I watched it a couple times. I'm trying to get... All right, hold on a second here. I got to get this. She American film producer Trevor Engelson.
That's who?
She married him in Jamaica.
Okay, and then
and
they split.
Had a new no-fault divorce citing irreconcilable differences. And their subsequent relationship was with Canadian celebrity chef and restaurateur Corey Vitello.
I've never heard of him.
2 years with Corey Vitello.
Interesting. And then she met Harry, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Well, you know, I could see where their attitudes would be that she wasn't the perfect wife for him because she was married before, had another relationship. I'm sure that, like, in England, they would...
Oh, yeah, that's kind of...
Yeah, it's like they want the pristine marriage.
Well, I mean, however, look at old Chucky running around on Die with Camilla.
Well, yeah.
They got a lot of room to talk. That's the whole thing.
Well, see, they liked that because they didn't like the commoner that he was involved with.
Right.
And Camilla was closer to royalty. So they didn't have a problem with him running around on Diana.
It's terrible. Terrible. And they say when you point fingers, you have three pointing back at you.
Is that what they say?
That's what I've heard.
Six in Trenton. What's up, Six?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's going on, man? How you doing? How's it going?
Yeah, the royal family, I don't know nothing about that, man. I don't really know anything about the royal family, what they do or anything like that.
And you know, but, they got married secretly before their big ceremonial marriage at the palace, apparently.
Wow.
That's how little the royal family knew. They were up to shenanigans, these two.
Yeah, that's neat. How do you keep that a secret?
I don't know. Now, how do they have it? They have a net worth of $10 million. That's family money. I thought, well, why wouldn't Harry take a vow of poverty if he wanted to get out of the royal family that bad? Well, he took the $10 million, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
What? That was
an inheritance from Diana. They did cut him off financially.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, go ahead.
Another thing, the Eagles, man, they grabbed him around Jalen Hurts. You got to go get him weapons. I understand we need a corner. We should drive the corner first with the sixth pick, but I think you just got to go wide receiver. You got to go on out, get the wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trading out of there. I'm now convinced. I'm trading out of that spot. I'm going to grab another pick out of that, and I'm going to take – if I trade back a little bit, if I trade to 10 to 12, I think the tight end, Kyle Pitts, might be there. I think one of the corners might be there. I'll still get a good player. I don't need the wide receiver this year because they're not going to be good. I got to build from within.
But who do we have within?
Well, let me ask you a question. In this team, the way they are now, is drafting Devontae Smith or Chase, Jamar Chase, that is going to make that much of a difference?
If we're building for the future, it means a lot to the quarterback because they're growing up. They're growing together. They're learning together.
Yeah. Oh, I hear that, but their defense is so bad, like you have to start paying attention to that. So if you get a starting corner, he's going to have the same effect. He's going to be there for years.
Absolutely.
Plus, you're getting another pick out of it.
We don't know who's coming, who's going. We don't know who's going to be left on this team. How are they going?
We kind of know who's going to be left on the team. We know.
So you seen Brandon? So you seen Brandon Brooks getting traded?
Well, that's probably a good move.
But ain't no one seen it coming though. It is a good move because you get more draft picks out of it. But
yeah, so it's a good move. Like I say they're not going to be a good team. So why wouldn't you move? Like they're going to move Ertz. They could move Brandon Brooks. They're on defense, the only survivors are going to be Fletcher Cox, maybe Barnett.
Slay,
and probably the Green Goblin will probably stay. That's about it, though.
They got to get rid of Jalen. Jalen Mills got to go. He got to go.
He's probably going to stay.
Him or Rodney McLeod, they got to go.
Yeah, they're both going to probably stay.
Oh, my.
I mean, like, I go, like, how do I sit here and go, well, they can't get rid of this guy? It doesn't matter who they get rid of at this point. It doesn't matter. If they want to trade Brandon Brooks, yeah, okay, that's fine. I see Brandon Brooks as a guy who's going to continue to get injured. He's at an age where it doesn't matter if they have him or not, because if they have him, are they going to be good? No. So what's the difference?
Well, if they have them, it protects the investment that they're planning to make in Jalen Hurts.
To a point. If he gets hurt, it doesn't.
Well, Well, sure. And that, but
those guys are going to get hurt. Lane Johnson, Brandon Brooks are going to continue to get hurt.
So the thing is, if you get, even if you get 4, 5, 6 games out of them, and then you have the ability to use Herbig as opposed to Herbig starting it right
now. Is that worth keeping him? For six games?
Yeah, I mean, you're only saving $2 million by keeping him. Or by trading him, I mean.
He's going to get hurt in the third game anyway, which means you're going to have to use Herbig anyway. So what's the difference? Start Herbig at the top. Go through growing pains with him. Jalen Hurts is mobile. So, you know, you take advantage of his mobility. Maybe his offensive line isn't going to be that great his first year. He'll survive.
So my thought is, if Brooks is back, he is probably a top three athletic guard in the league. He's that athletic to be able to...
Wait, with two injuries like that? Is he going to be athletic coming off of that?
Watch the guy. I mean, watching the guy return from the last two has been, I mean, like, superhero. Well,
there's another one. Like, he's older. Like, sure. When does it stop?
I don't know. I mean,
guys, how they get hurt continually?
Sure. I mean, I'm 27. Yeah, I'm already getting hurt continually.
Well, that's what Brandon Brooks and Lane Johnson are probably close to Jason Peters' nicked up time. You know, where guys get nicked up like every other game. They're not totally healthy. They'll never, ever be totally healthy again.
I just think that those two have more athletic ability left in them than Peters did at this.
What are you doing next year? What's your aim? How many games you want to win with this team?
Well, I don't think they're going to win many games, period.
Well, then what's the difference?
It's protecting Jalen Hurts.
That'll be all right.
I mean, Carson Wentz got sacked 50 times last year.
Carson Wentz wasn't as mobile.
It's true.
Jalen Hurts.
But they also
dance out of the pocket. Get out of there.
They had 13 different like offensive line combinations. Mm-hmm. That scares me to do that again.
Yeah. All right. 610-632-0975. That's how you climb into the show. Coming up, Nat News. That's right.
That's right.
Nat's News, 3:30. We do it every day. And Nat will give us her Nat News. And then I got a really interesting topic that Nat needs to weigh in on.
Okay.
That involves husband and wife relations.
Interesting.
All righty.
All righty.
Nat's News is up next. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
On 97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, it's time for Twitter Poll Update, brought to us by Paul B. Meyer and Sons with Natalie Eganoff. Nat.
All right, Mike, over 200 votes on this one so far. Do you have more confidence in the Eagles now, in the Eagles' upcoming draft, now that it appears they won't draft a quarterback? 34% say yes, more confidence. 66% say no, still Howie Roseman.
All righty. I don't think Eagle fans care right now. That's my conclusion. They are so plugged out right now, this team. Now, it'll ramp up, obviously, when Jalen Hurts starts to play, and everybody will be excited to see what he can do. But right now, the Eagles have become a non-entity in the Philadelphia sports world. I never thought I would see that day. But,
yeah.
But here it is.
I mean, it's self-inflicted.
All right. We'll continue talking about that. But right now, it is time, ladies and gentlemen, for Nat's News.
That's right, Mike. Here's Nat's news for this fine Monday. In L.A., a man has reunited with his cat who vanished over 15 years ago. Brandy, a brown tabby, was reunited with Charles, who adopted her as a two-month-old kitten in 2005. She was found Sunday in Palmdale, about 40 miles from where Charles lived in San Fernando Valley of L.A. Brandy stayed only a few months after he adopted her. She went outside in the afternoon to the backyard, but when it got dark out, he went outside to bring her back in, and she wasn't there. He drove around looking for her, checked animal shelters, put up signs without any luck, so he thought that she had been killed by a car or a coyote. However, he received a call from the L.A. County Animal Shelter in Palmdale and found out that there was a microchip implanted in Brandy when she was adopted.
Ah.
So he had changed his address and home phone number, but luckily his cell phone number was still the same that was listed on the microchip. He suspects that somebody found her as a kitten and kept her all those years without bothering to check whether she had a microchip, and he believes she must have become separated or run off several months ago, but she was the same calm, gentle, sweet cat he remembered.
Oh.
Isn't that heartwarming?
So who? How did the chip reveal the cat's identity?
Yeah, again, so... if you have
scan the chip, though?
The animal shelter.
Oh, the shelter did.
Yeah, okay. So I guess they, however, she ended up back at the animal shelter, they found the chip.
Yeah.
And then they called him and said that we found your sweet kitten.
Oh, that's so adorable. That's adorable. My dog has a chip.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a chip in your dog?
I think, yeah, Ginger's chipped.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that explains.
That's a heartwarming story to start off with.
Yes, I thought some good.
On this volatile Monday. That's very nice. Nice touch.
Thank you. So then we go to Iowa, where a pizzeria is serving up breakfast pizza with Fruit Loops and cheese.
I saw this.
Yeah. You did?
This Fruit Loops, yeah, this Fruit Loops on top of a pizza is repulsive to me. But go ahead with the story.
So it says Fong's Pizza in Des Moines, Iowa, made waves around the internet after the revival of their controversial sweet breakfast pizza. It's made of, Fruit Loops. And it's topped with mozzarella and a layer of Fruit Loops along with drizzle of Greek yogurt and condensed milk.
That's a violation.
Now, let me ask you this. Who would enjoy something like that?
So, some people do. They also have different kinds of pizza. They have, a crab rangoon pizza, which sounds amazing, and a General Tso's chicken, or General Tso's pizza, which I've had before. But I don't know if I'd ever try a Fruit Loop pizza. Weird with the cheese.
I gotta be honest with you. I'm a pizza traditionalist.
Right.
And I think it's a bastardization of a great creation.
If you were going to put...
If you mess it up like that.
Cereal on a pizza, what would it be?
I would never put cereal on a pizza.
Not any?
I would not.
Not Honey Nut Cheerios?
I wouldn't put pineapple on a pizza.
See,
I wouldn't put that barbecue chicken pizza.
Oh, my God.
I'm a pizza man. I don't funk up a pizza.
How do you feel about tomato pies?
I like a tomato pie.
Because there's no cheese?
It doesn't matter. The sauce is the essence of a pizza. You're diluting the sauce with crap.
Okay.
In this case, Fruit Loops or pineapples.
Yes.
Or what, a barbecue sauce.
See, I'm a violation because I like pineapple pizza.
Me too.
You're two metagons. No, your name's Zoli. How the hell do you get... Where do you get off with this non-traditional pizza stuff?
I think it tastes good.
It tastes good?
Yeah. I'm big Hawaiian pizza guy.
Yeah, it's good. But the ham, pineapple, nice. Sometimes bacon. How about it?
Metagons.
I know.
Oh, God. Zuli, you got to turn it. I don't know.
You want me to change my last name?
I got to look at your heritage. There's a flaw here.
All right, so next story. A doctor appears in a court video call while performing surgery. The Medical Board of California said it would investigate a plastic surgeon who appeared in a video conference for his traffic violation while operating. The Sacramento Bee reports Dr. Scott Green appeared Thursday for his superior court trial held virtually because of the virus from an operating room. He was dressed in scrubs with a patient undergoing the procedure just out of view, and the beeps of the medical machinery can be heard in the background. So apparently... And the guy said, "Hello, Mr. Green. Hi, are you available for trial?" asked a courtroom clerk. As an officer summoned to appear in the trial raised her eyebrows. "It kind of looks like you're in the operating room right now." He said, "I am, sir. Yes, I'm in an operating room right now. Yes, I'm available for trial. Go right ahead." The clerk reminded Green the proceedings were being live streamed because the trials are now required by law to be open to the public. And he said he understood. He appeared to continue working with his head down while waiting for the commissioner to enter the chamber. So now they're investigating him, and they said, "We can't do this trial because you're operating on somebody."
Forget about that. What about the patient?
Exactly.
Doesn't that open a hospital up to a lawsuit?
I suppose it does. I mean, they didn't really give any sort of insight into what happening, but now it's investigating them because they're like, you can't go to traffic court while you're in the operating
room.
What
was the surgery?
It doesn't say.
Oh, see, that's very important.
I know. But either way, I guess the guy, he was probably unconscious.
Yeah, but I if I'm the family of the gut person being operated on, I go, this guy doesn't, I don't, my aunt doesn't have his undivided attention here. So.
Yeah.
And so how do you know if the surgery is going to be successful to the extent that it could have been?
Exactly. That's the problem.
I'll sue on general principle.
Yeah, well, I guess they probably will now, and he's probably going to lose his license. right?
Yeah, come on.
Why would you think that that was okay?
I doctor, the doctor's world.
I know,
but it's a doctor's world. You know how doctor's world is.
Can you imagine opening up the screen and seeing somebody in scrubs during surgery?
The doctors, because my brother happens to be one, but there is this doctor thing.
Yes, I know. I used to work with a lot of them.
It's almost like the royals.
Yes, there's like an air about them.
Well, yeah, and it's hard not to get the air because you're healed. You have the power to heal, right? I get all that.
Yeah,
but you know, a lot of doctors don't put that in perspective.
No. And this guy didn't. So that's today's for Nat's news.
That is Nat's news for today. Now I have Mike's news that Nat might want to comment on.
All right.
So I'm reading this story, and this is actually a good topic for the men out there, or the women out there, since this is National Women's Day.
Yes.
Right? So I would love to invite all women to come on the show today, and you will get to the front of the line. This is National Women's Day. If you call and you want to discuss anything, sports topic or whatever, what I'm about to talk about, if you call, our producer will put you right to the head of the line.
That's right.
You'll get on. If you're a woman today, you'll guarantee to get on quickly. All right. Now, here's the thing. Apparently, there is this company platform called OnlyFans.
Yes.
And OnlyFans is a kind of a... what would you call it? A site?
It's a site,
an
yeah.
App?
Yes.
Yeah, an app of some sort where middle-aged, well, not middle-aged, but...
Anybody. Over the age of 18.
Anybody over the age of 18, but you pose and it's like $9.99 a month. To view photos, lewd photos, or lingerie photos, or whatever, or videos.
Yes.
Various women. The people that are taking advantage of it mostly happen to be middle-aged married women who are earning money, extra money on the side by posing.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to make a judgment if that's what you you feel that you can do to make money.
Right.
Whatever. I don't know how your children would feel about it, but that's, you know, your own personal thing. The woman who said that she is bringing in $6,000 a month, this 45-year-old married woman is bringing in $6,000 a month. And
yeah.
She's saying the tuition money she is spending and textbooks for nursing college. So it's either bringing in extra revenue to the family or it's going to further education, according to these ladies. So here's the story on this one lady. Her husband is the one who is taking the photos and effectively pimping his wife and posting the video. So he's exploiting the situation for his own benefit.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to know how you feel about that, Natalie.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, if she wants to do it, then I mean, I guess then they're in it together because they are making money off of it. Uh-huh. However, I'm uncomfortable with that.
Yeah.
Just because I think that there are boundaries and stuff. But again, that's how my scope of relationships are. But if they're happy to do it together, I suppose that's fine. And I think that's actually kind of popular that there's a lot of people who do that. Like, she's not alone and couples are into this together.
Yeah,
it's weird to me. I'm too old fashioned or whatever.
The
thing,
from the guy's standpoint, he obviously finds his wife very attractive.
Yeah,
and is not at all uncomfortable with showing his wife off.
Right.
It's kind of like how you would feel if you were a guy and you were with you're with a model and you're walking down the beach and the woman you're with is turning heads. How would you feel about that?
Right.
As a guy, some guys like it. Some guys don't like it. In this particular situation, the guy has learned to exploit his wife's looks for monetary gain.
Yeah.
And they do have children.
Yeah. It's wild to me. But again, I think it's more common now than ever.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. I just wouldn't like if I were. I wouldn't like that. I know that all these people are looking at you know, my significant, my husband or wife on the internet. Like, that would make me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, but apparently, so that's when I want to ask people, would that make you uncomfortable? And have you, how do you feel, actually, when you're with your wife, who is very attractive, and people ogle your wife?
Well, and the thing is...
And women, if you... out there in our audience, if you do this, or would you ever think about doing this for monetary gain?
Yeah, I mean, there's, and the thing is, there's like requests that you can put in for the woman or the man, whoever's on there, to kind of do things, and then people pay extra for that. It's just, it's a little much for my for me.
So
personally.
Apparently, she got the idea to go to OnlyFans because she had 167,000 Instagram followers of her just general pictures that she would post.
Yeah.
So she turned it into a whatever.
Yeah, and it's apparently it's very lucrative. Very lucrative.
Yeah. All right, well, whatever. She also contributes to the soft porn website Southern Charms.
Oh. Well, then.
So she's all over it.
Yeah.
All right, 610-632-0975 is how you climb into the show. It's the Mike Missanelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, 3:47, Mike Missanelli Show. Phillies do not play today. Day off for them today, I guess, down there in Clearwater. They're not scheduled to play, right? This is usually a golf day on a Monday. They get a day off.
I think it's one of, like, their 2 days off for the rest of the spring training.
I guarantee they're all on the golf course right now. But anyway, some Phillies news. Not good news, but it's a former Philly relief pitcher. We all remember Raoul Cormier. He was a Canadian, French-Canadian. Left-handed pitcher. Had some good years here, actually. He kicked around at big leagues, but he spent the most time with the Phillies. He signed here after the 2000 season when they weren't very good. But in 2003, he had an ERA of 1.70. And then in 2004, he had 84 appearances for the Phillies. And they wound up trading him in 2006. But he was here for 6 years. He passed away with pancreatic cancer. So that's... that's nasty. So sorry about that for Raoul Cormier.
But that's
all,
sad.
We all remember him because he's like the only French Canadian they ever had.
Yeah,
he started with the Cardinals, I believe.
Oh.
All right. So I had to give you a little postscript on this story because I'm reading more about it now. This woman on OnlyFans.
Okay.
She's got two sons, 21 and 24. And she says, we would take pictures in the backyard near the pool once the kids have gone to bed. None of the neighbors said anything. So in 2007, she said, in a bid to, quote, express myself sexually even further, she began stripping and pole dancing at Phoenix nightclubs 3 nights a week from 7 p.m. to 2 a.m. I don't know how I would feel about that, to be honest with you.
Right.
If I was married to her.
Yeah. Well, like the only some men are into that,
maybe,
though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they.
I don't know if I could at that point trust her if she's that. If she wants to express herself that much sexually, I'm not sure that I could trust her because to me, it's like the next step is that. You just go completely off the rails.
Yeah.
You
know? I mean, that's why everybody has their own boundaries. Like, her husband clearly doesn't care. You know?
Yeah, I guess he's getting a kick at it.
He probably likes it.
All right. Todd, even though you're a youngin'. So, I don't know if you have any opinion on, like, would you be okay if you eventually marry someone and she decides she wants to strip and pole dance?
I mean, I would trust until I had been given a reason not to. So, I mean, like,
so let me ask you this: would you go to the club and watch her, or would you
stay home until she came back
at 2 a.m.?
No, I don't think I would. I think I would stay home. But yeah, I mean, I trust until I'm given a reason not to.
Yeah. You think, like, if she comes home at with a little man smell on her, how would that sit? Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Clone.
Because she's going, you know, she's lap dancing, and she's got a variety of man DNA, you know, floating around.
I mean, I'm like, I'm not going to be super excited about it.
Right.
Let me ask you this. I'll go even further. Would she have to shower before she came into the bed? Like, you'd be sleeping for a couple of hours. She comes home from the shift.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, a little man smell. Would you, like, would the requirement be that she would have to shower before she got in bed?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah? All right. Matt, you're quiet.
No, I mean, it's one of those things. Like, there are people who are okay with that.
I can see the picture of the woman. She's a very attractive woman.
She's beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, so I dated a lingerie model once.
Yeah.
She was on the Bosca scoff ads.
Oh, you
like
on the Boscoff's model?
On Sunday.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Like bra and panty ads.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know about going to the nightclub, but, you know.
That's the thing. Like, that's, yeah. I feel like you'd have to be really secure with your relationship, or perhaps that's what you're into.
Yeah.
If you know, you're okay with that.
It was actually fairly startling to me because I wasn't aware that, like, I opened the Sunday paper. And
oh, and there she was?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I was like, oh.
Yeah. Is that Janet?
It's kind of Marion and Ben Salem. Marion, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mr. Mike.
What's up, Marion? See, I thought you were I'm sorry. I know Marion's a man's name, but I thought you were going to be our first female of the day on National Women's Day.
No.
All right. I like it. Yeah. It's like Marion Campbell, the old Eagles coach.
Yeah. I love Sean Marion. That's where everybody really knows
it from. Yeah, I got you.
But the reason I'm calling, I wanted to touch base on the All-Star game. Me, personally, I love the All-Star game. Just like the other caller prior, he said that the classic way, which is East versus West, would be a lot better. And I 100% agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. I don't know why they changed it. I think there was maybe a disparity in what they thought the talent level was. I don't know why they would do that.
I'm not sure, but one thing I do know that the East have a slightly big lead over the West when it comes to East versus West. I think they probably got like an 8 or...
Oh, really? That's probably from back in the day because the Boston dynasty. But, like, I remember maybe that the West Conference was a lot better than the East for a period of time.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why they changed it. I don't know.
Maybe. But probably it might be because of that. Last night, they scored over 300 points. I don't see how anybody couldn't like that. Like,
yeah, listen, I thought it was incredible talent. I love talent. And I didn't care that there wasn't any defense. I just love these guys making shots.
Man. All these half-court shots just dropping straight in. See, I really didn't actually catch the game last night because I was on a date at the bowling alley, and then it popped up. I was like, oh, man.
Look at you. Day-to-day to the bowling alley on an all-star night?
On an all-star night. Don't gas me up, man. I just like to have fun. But before I let you go, the first story from Nats News, That was very touching right there for that man to find his cat.
That is
15 years, man. That was just amazing, right?
Yeah,
there.
That is a good story. Yeah, a pet story like that is always really
good. That's good. But nice speaking with you, Mr. Mike. I will definitely be back in touch whenever I get another.
All right, buddy. You got it, Marion. Thank you very much. Yeah, I liked the 3-point shot contest last night too. That was exciting with Steph beating him in the last shot.
Steph's unreal.
Yeah, it's. But the other two, I'm telling you, man, I could gloss this thing up.
I would enjoy all
I'm
of the...
I'm a visionary for the NBA. Come on.
All of the moves you would make, I think they're all entertaining and fun to watch.
Get some skill back in the skill competition. That's all I'm saying. 610-632-0975. Coming up, I don't know how many people follow golf. We're going to get into golf because I can't stand this Bryson DeChambeau. I need help. I detest the man. And he's like, he's turning a lot of fans on because he's got this monster driving ability. And I hate the guy. And I'll discuss that in 4 o'clock hour. It's the Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Oh, it's 4 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show. The 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at LandisBC.com. Very sunny day today. Thinking about, can I do the show like this?
Yes.
Can you just show the rest of the show like this?
Yeah, I should put mine on, too.
Yeah, it's very
you
sun.
Do a little Top Gun feel.
You're showing the sunglasses.
Yeah, I'm celebrating the sun today. And it's going to be like, what, 65 on the...
Yes, I can't believe
on
it.
On Wednesday and Thursday?
I can't believe it. We're finally here.
Well, that snow's going to be gone.
You getting out to play at all during the week?
The golf course does not open until Thursday.
Really?
Yes, so I will be. I am scheduled to play Thursday.
You would think with how nice it's going to be, they would jump on the opportunity.
There's actually still snow on the course currently, so I guess they're waiting as long as they can before they let people trot on the soggy terrain and mess it up.
Makes sense.
All right, so as we get into the 4 o'clock hour, I experienced something today. One of my many annoyances that I don't think I've ever brought up before is this unique annoyance, in the car annoyance. You know, many things can annoy you when you're driving in your car. So I want to try this one on for size for everybody. This is the, your car is stopped by the infamous, person to car conversation in front of you, or the car to car conversation, where one car is coming the other way, the other car. And they're speaking in driver's side to driver's side, or it's someone who is happens to be walking a dog or whatever, and somebody they know goes by, and the car stops in the middle of the street, and the person is talking to the driver. Standing up, talking to the driver.
Yeah.
Completely oblivious to the fact that there's a car that's behind this particular car.
I can't deal.
And so, like... My question to you is, how long before you execute the beep of the horn?
Well, I would give them the nice little Philadelphia tap first. You know, like the
the quick tap.
You kind
of
like
of the horn,
like the bump.
The horn,
yeah. And then
you would go to the horn. Like, how soon would it take you to go to the horn?
Probably not long. I'm a big horn tapper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because, especially in the inner city. You know?
Yeah.
Because there's so many violations.
Yeah.
Today, this mail truck was stopped, and I was trying to go around it, but then this guy was coming toward me. I don't know why the mail truck was stopped. The guy was, he was just sitting in there. So I laid on the horn, and then he stopped because he was mad that I honked at him. But I'm like, you're holding up, you know, these are tiny streets, and I'm almost getting hit by a truck because you're not moving for whatever reason.
You know what does not exist in this day and age?
What?
Common courtesy for others.
No, not at all.
It doesn't exist.
No.
For instance, in this particular situation, the car could easily pull off to the curb and execute the conversation with someone.
Yeah.
And still allow the other car behind them to go by.
Yeah.
And I don't understand, the car-to-car convo. Because the person who's facing me sees me. Sometimes the person in conversation does not want to look this way to see the other car.
Right.
Because they're zeroed in on the conversation.
Yeah.
But the car-to-car, driver's side window to driver's side window convo, that person is seeing the car behind the person that they're talking to.
Yeah, and they don't even care.
And they don't care.
No.
It's astounding.
People are reckless.
Human nature is astounding in this day and age. Common courtesy, there's just none.
No.
All right. I'm bitching and moaning about everything today. All right.
Let's
go to Carrie in San Francisco. Carrie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mikey.
Oh, Mitch. Our first lady caller of the day. I love it.
Woo! It's me.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I actually called back in the summer when I was in Philly area for 6 months with the family with everything going
yes,
on.
Yes, I remember your call.
You weren't on the air that day.
Oh, I wasn't? Oh, I must have been listening then. I was probably listening.
Oh, cool. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Tyrone and Nat.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Nat. Yeah.
It's our old friend Carrie, Nat. She called before when you and Ty were on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I went to Temple, too. So
oh, that's
out.
Right.
There
yeah.
You go. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's great to, I have the day off, so just
did you,
wanted
you
to
move,
call in.
You moved to San Francisco?
I came back, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I've been out here 11 years, uh-huh. but I was back with the family. My dad wasn't feeling too good.
That's
so.
A great city. I love it. I would move to San Francisco.
Oh, you got to come. You're just talking about golfing.
Yeah.
I won't tell you how it looks today. It's definitely Half Moon Bay is waiting for you to come back.
Oh, my God. Stop. You're killing me. I see. I'd have to have I'd have to create an OnlyFans account to live out there, though. I need the extra dough. It's expensive to live out there, Carrie.
I don't know how I'm doing it, to be honest.
Well, God bless you.
But I'm doing it, yeah. Anyway, it's great, but I miss home, so I listen to you guys, and it helps.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, and so I was just wondering your thoughts on the Sixers, and, you know, they're going really strong right now. Hopefully Embiid and Simmons will be all right.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. How many games they will miss, if any, because their schedule kind of gets bunched
right.
up here. They have a few back-to-backs. You know, if they're out of extended period of time, they could lose some ground. Actually, some odds came in today on who's going to win the NBA championship, which won't be good news for Sixer fans. I'll get to that in a second. But I think they can hold the fort. I think a trade is coming down. I think a trade has to come down. They have to improve this team's talent level to beat the Nets, and I think that, that will happen.
I agree. I'm feeling good about it, and Doc Rivers seems to be the man, and keep them going.
Yep. Sounds good. Thanks, Carrie, for checking in. We appreciate it.
Yeah. You guys stay well.
All right. There is Carrie in San Fran.
Nice.
Love that city.
I like San Fran, too.
Man,
it's beautiful.
It really is. And it's really, I don't know what the temperature is now. It's probably, what is it? It's warmer in the fall, right?
I think so.
Summer is cold. Autumn is the beautiful.
It's 56 right now.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's fine. All right, so the Sixers are in a situation. So we'll see if they're going to be able to play Thursday. Now, they need like two negative tests in the next, 48 hours?
Yeah.
And we'll see if that happens. You know, it can happen to anybody. Like I know a lot of people they were irresponsible. They weren't really irresponsible. They're just trying to get the haircut. And, it's a misfortune that the guy tested positive.
Yeah.
All right, Thursday at the Bulls and then at Washington. I'm thinking they're going to miss both those games.
It's possible.
Because they can.
Yeah.
That they would be two games where they, you know, you can get away without them. All right, let's go to Emmett in Phoenixville. Emmett, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Emmett.
What's going on, Mike?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
I'm good. I've listened to the show a lot, and I agree with you most times, but I don't know about this time around.
What did I say?
Who do you want in this NFL draft? Because I know who I want.
I'm telling you, I would rather trade down. They're so far from being good that I need extra picks. I got to rebuild this thing.
I don't know about so far from being good. I think you sleep on this team. I think you sleep on Hurts. I think this team's a little bit better than you say. I think this defense is a little pretty tough. And
stop. This defense is tough. Explain to me how.
Because if you watch the games last year, it was obvious that they were the ones carrying the Eagles. I mean, it obviously wasn't the offense. They're not losing too many guys. They're in fact getting a couple back through injuries.
Who do you like on their defense?
I like Slay. I like a ton of guys. What do you mean?
They have two players they can rely on. They have Slay and they have Cox. Who else are we talking about here that you can rely on defense?
Well, fine. Let's forget about the defense. Let me tell you this.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me say this.
Uh-huh.
It's Devontae Smith. The guy's an absolute beast of a talent. You've seen him do amazing things on the biggest stages We watched a guy named Justin Jefferson do it last year, and we didn't take him, and now we're kicking ourselves for that. And I don't want to be kicking myself again when this guy's the rookie of the year next year.
All right. I mean, that's a fair assessment. Now, if he's available at six, I might be thinking the same thing. A, I don't think he's going to be available. B, I don't know if one wide receiver can make that much of a difference as far as rebuilding a team. It's kind of a position where they have some people there. They drafted a guy last year. I don't know. I just think they're so far from winning, and you don't. So we're in disagreement there. I don't think they're a good team. I think they're a four-win team at best.
Four wins?
Yes. You got to explain to me what you're seeing here that would make you think they're a good team.
I think Hurts brings a lot of good energy to the offense. I think he's a guy that a lot of people can get behind. And I think we could create a rainbow connection if we get the right guy in the draft. It's Devontae.
Yeah, well, I don't see what you say, bro. But, you know, that's the way it goes. I'm glad you're optimistic. I don't even know if Hurts can play. So, I mean, before I even get to that, though, they're so bereft of talent right now. Let's look at the skill players he has with him. He's got a running back who's a nice player. I'm not sure he's a star player, and he hasn't proven that he can really catch the ball out of the backfield. Their offensive line, there's a major question at left tackle. And to me, there are question marks at the right guard and right tackle position as far as injuries go. And they might be even trading Brandon Brooks. Defensively, I go, all right, I can count on Fletcher Cox, I guess, but he's getting older. Brandon Graham, can I count on him? I'm not so sure. Barnett, I'm not sure I could count on him. I don't know who I could count on their linebacking core. I don't know who their corners are except for Slay and who their safeties are. Other than that, their defense is great.
I think you can count on McLeod.
You can?
I think so.
Come back from an injury, you count on a lot of guys coming back from injuries, Teasel.
Well, if that's the expectation, is they come back, you know, perfectly healthy.
But you can't round that off with major injuries. It's tough to say they're just going to be back and not miss a beat.
Oh, I think it's going to take time, but I am more confident in those guys than I would be with a Herbig or with Dillard trying to move to right tackle or
Miles. Why do you think they're thinking of trading Brandon Brooks?
Brandon Brooks?
Yeah, why do you think they would?
Because his value will never be higher than it is right now.
And they don't trust him. They don't trust his health.
I don't know. I guess the question is, what's the return?
Listen, if you don't trust the guy's health and you can put him on the market, it's pretty telling, isn't it? You don't want to have your heart broken if you're a high-priced player.
Yeah, I would think so. If it's only going to save them $2 million. They don't care about the money.
Yeah, come on.
Want to get the return.
Come on, Teasel. You're too optimistic with this team.
I think those two. McLeod less so, but Johnson and Brooks, those two.
Okay. The odds have just come out, ladies and gentlemen, for the NBA championship. And I will go over them with you. Who now would you say is the NBA championship favorite in Las Vegas?
The Brooklyn Nets.
That is correct, my friend. The Brooklyn Nets have surged ahead of both LA teams. They are now 13-5 to win the NBA title. Was that because they got Blake Griffin?
It must be.
What is that about?
And the star power coming together.
Up. All right, it's the Nets, followed by the Lakers at 14-5, followed by the Clippers at 11-2, followed by who?
Utah.
That is correct. The Jazz at 7-1, followed by who?
That is where I would put the Sixers.
Incorrect,
really?
My friend. The Milwaukee Bucks are 8-1.
Wow.
Leaving the Sixers at 12-1.
Oh, geez.
Not good even odds close. If you're willing to take
Not
it.
Not even close to the Bucks. What does that mean? The Nets and the Bucks convincingly ahead of the Sixers in Las Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas doesn't like the Sixers as much as we do here.
Wow. That's disappointing. Now, again, well, if he makes a deal, those odds will change. So we'll see. Christine in Wildwood. What's up, Christine?
Hi, everybody. How's everyone doing today?
Happy Women's Day, Christine.
Thank you. Happy Women's Day, Matt.
Thank you.
Mike, Miss, long time listener.
Thank you, Christine.
I'm a 4-for-4 girl.
Got a girl.
And it's a very exciting time to be a Philadelphia sports fan.
It is for you, huh? Well, you're going to have to explain that to me because, you know, the Flyers lost last night and the Sixers, they're like sixth in the odds to win the NBA championship and the Eagles are dreck. Christine, what are you telling me? Give me some good news here.
Okay, well, the Phillies are going to really turn it around.
Okay.
They already did.
All right.
We always need another starting pitcher.
Uh-huh.
The Sixers are going to be okay as long as we make a trade.
Okay.
And then Embiid and Simmons are healthy.
Uh-huh.
So I just hope they don't miss too much time.
Yeah.
The Eagles are going to take time. They're disastrous. As long as Howie is still GM, we're going to be in the cellar. That's just, I have to accept it. I'm an Eagles fan more than a quarterback fan, so yeah. I'm okay with it. I have to be okay with it.
Yeah, it's going to be
Flyers, they're the same old. I've been waiting for the full 45 seasons for the Cup. And they'll get it together because they're going to make a trade for a big. We need another scrapper.
Hmm. So yeah, I like this. You're optimistic. You already are optimistic about the Phillies, and you're telling me that you're going to be optimistic because.
I was in the dumps about the Phillies until they. Forgive me. I forget his name. Until they got the new GM guy.
Dave Dombrowski.
When he made the trade and got everybody together, I was like, all right. Because they were jealous of the Sixers on how many fans got together when they got the new coach and all. And then the Phillies just scoop it up. And Girardi's going to really mold them into shape.
Well, I hope you're right, Christine. How are things in Wildwood today? That nice sunshine?
Oh, it's a beautiful day.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. It's a good day to walk on the boardwalk, Christine.
Yeah, beautiful day. Always. Never a bad day at the beach.
Oh, you got it. Christine, thanks for checking in.
You too. Everyone take care.
All right, there she is. Christine from Wildwood.
Yeah, I'm sure the boardwalk's probably a little chilly.
My old Mikey Miss Stomping Grounds every year.
Yep, same.
Vacation every year.
The only place to go.
Third week of August every year. Same hotel every year.
Yep.
Meal plan. Outsourced dining.
No.
For the Missinelli clan.
No.
But you'd like to have veal cutlet.
Okay. Oh, wow.
All right, let's go to Kevin in West Philly. Kevin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kevin.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's up, Kevin? Matt? How you doing?
What's up, y'all?
How's it going?
I just got a few comments. One about the Eagles, one about the OnlyFans thing.
Yeah.
But Eagles first. I was never the fan that, and I was born in 86, so I had a kind of good Eagles years, McNabb, then the Super Bowl, and then this right here.
Mm-hmm.
But I was never the fan that thought Doug Peterson needed to go after one bad season, or Carson Wentz after one bad season.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what happened. Now we got Hurts. So just my question to you is, and Nat or whoever else on whoever there.
That's
T-Zool. Jalen Hurts. Do y'all think Jalen Hurts would be better than Vic? Is this the story we've seen before? Or do y'all think we need to draft another quarterback? Because
I don't think they're going to. Yeah. Well, here it is.
We just screwed up and we need another quarterback. And I think we've seen Hurts before. I don't think Hurts would be better than Michael Vick. So I don't think Hurts is. It's like a dead situation. What do you think about that?
I don't think it's a bad situation. I think maybe the kid's got some talent and he can blossom. I'm not sold on him yet because I haven't seen anything to make me sold on him. Michael Vick was a much more talented player, I think. He threw the ball a lot better than Jalen Hurst
did.
I agree with you that I'm not sure he's a franchise quarterback, but I don't agree with you that they should draft a quarterback. At this stage, there's no upside to drafting another quarterback. If you've got this guy, just ride with him. You'll know soon enough whether he's it or not. And then, like, a couple years down the road, you draft another quarterback.
You could draft another quarterback. I just think, me personally, I don't think he'd be better than Michael Vick, but what Michael Vick gave us,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think we'll ever win nothing. So I just think it's a dead horse.
Yeah.
Do you think he'd be better than Michael Vick? You just said
I think he was a more talented player. He accomplished some things in the NFL too. It's not like you know, this guy is just getting his feet wet. I have no idea what he is. I really don't. I don't know what Jalen Hurts is. But there are people out there that are convinced that they saw enough in Jalen Hurts to be comfortable with him as the franchise quarterback. I certainly haven't. So, and I'm not like ruling him out. I'm just saying that I haven't seen it. So there's no way that I'm going to be, oh my God, that position's settled for the next several years. Nah. All right. On the other side, we're going to talk about this Bryson DeChambeau thing on the other side. I don't know how many people were watching golf, the Arnold Palmer, Bay Hill, his joint. So like everything's about Arnold and, this DeChambeau won it, and DeChambeau's this guy who bulked up and has all this science about hitting the ball far, and he's a darling now because he can hit the ball far. But I think the guy's a brat, and we'll explore that after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Alrighty, it's 4:30 on the Mike Missinelli Show, and it's time to update our Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Aganov. Nad?
Alrighty, Mike, over 700 votes on this one. Do you have more confidence in the Eagles this upcoming draft? Now that it appears they won't draft a quarterback, 32% say yes, more confident. 68% say no, still Howie Roseman.
Oh, all right. Jeffrey Lurie, as I said earlier, I'm not a fan. And, you know, he owns the team. I get it. He was able to own an NFL team. That's wonderful. He now put it out, and I think actually put out the right message that they should build around Jalen Hurts, which I think is the right thing to do. He's the last man standing, so you might as well build around him. But I don't understand like how his influence was able to pick Jalen Hurts in the first place, and I think it's real dangerous when a man who I don't believe has any football instincts whatsoever, having never played a sport in his life, is going to get involved in that. But then I don't trust the general manager either. So what's the difference? Like, we're going to have to sit out the next 2 years and suffer here. So it is what it is. All right. So the PGA Tour. Now, I've already been on the record. I don't like anybody on the PGA Tour. This is really a conflict with me because I love to watch the PGA Tour, but I don't really like anybody on the PGA Tour. Except for maybe a couple guys that don't bother me as much as others bother me. So there's that. But I love watching on a Sunday afternoon. I think it's a calming thing to do, especially when we go through cold weather and we watch this golf that's going on in Florida and Arizona, wherever. And so the Bay Hill Classic, I forget who's the sponsor of it. But it's Arnold Palmer's course in Florida. And Bryson DeChambeau won it. And so he's this guy now, if you've been following anything about golf, he's this guy who gained like 50 pounds, and he's got all these physics concepts on how to make clubhead speed and ball speed and all this thing. And he's crushing the ball. He's hitting it like 370 off the tee, which is enormous, and he hits it further than anybody on the PGA Tour. And he's been able to, for the most part, control long drives like that, which is almost impossible to do. So I understand the influence he's put on the game. But afterwards, he wins the tournament. And he did have to make a tough putt to win it. It was like a five-footer that wasn't easy. So I'll give him credit for that. So afterwards, I just want you to hear it. And you tell me what you think about his post-round interview. Here's how he starts it off.
First off, I got to thank my sponsors, Bridgestone Tour BX and, you know, Cobra Rad Speed and HD Golf and a bunch of other sponsors as well, Rolex and OneStream Software. They've all been instrumental in helping me be here. But I will say it's been quite a battle this whole entire time. I don't even know what to say to win at Mr. Palmer's event. It is it's going to make me cry.
So that's stage one. Now, mind you, he had to thank Rolex, which I think have had a lot to do with him being a great golfer, right? He throws four sponsors in there right out of the chute, right? Nobody really does that. So he goes, he gives him a Mr. Palmer. Well, earlier in the round, I'm watching, he hit a high shot that landed in the trap, and it was so high that it was like a fried egg, where the ball goes in and it kind of buries a little bit into this crevice. So it's hard to get it out of the trap. So he gets it out of the trap, and it wasn't a very good shot. So he says, "There it is, worst bunkers on tour." There you go. This is a guy, Mr. Palmer. He's insulting Palmer's courts. And Palmer's up in heaven, going, "You little brat." You know, like, what are you? So, and he's got all these comments. Like, every time he hits a bitch, he gets these comments. So now here it is. They ask him, since he brought up Mr. Palmer, Arnold Palmer. They ask him what it means to win the course that's Arnold Palmer's.
It means the world to me, you know. I got a text from Tiger this morning, and, you know, he obviously had done really well here and was very instrumental in Mr. Palmer's life, as Mr. Palmer was to Tiger. And, you know, we just talked about just keep fighting no matter what happens and, you know, play boldly like Mr. Palmer said. And, you know, my heart has been heavy with Tiger and what's been going on with him. And I just kept telling myself, you know, it's not how many times you get kicked down. It's about how many times you can get picked up.
Oh, good. Blah, blah, blah. All right. I had enough now to kick down. When were you ever kicked down? You little rich brat. You kicked down. And he name drops Tiger. Had nothing to do with anything. Oh, by the way, world, I know Tiger because he texts me. You know, that's what that was.
Yeah.
Isn't that irritating?
I'm not as bothered because that's like who he is, right?
That's so irritating.
Yeah.
He names every sponsor that he has, first of all. And then the question had nothing to do with Tiger Woods. Oh, by the way, world, I'm close friends with Tiger. He texted me. Come on.
I mean, you could tell anybody who kind of acts like that is, you know, someone just, you know.
You bratty bastard.
Yeah, and didn't you say
that guy.
Paige didn't like it, right?
Oh, Paige Spirinac.
Yeah.
Who's this buxom blonde ex-pro golfer who now is on the social media and she's an influencer and she has a podcast or whatever. And she said the same thing.
Yeah,
come on with the sponsors and then the name drop of Tiger.
Right.
It's obnoxious.
Yeah.
All right. Not,
he's like the bad.
That, he, nobody cares.
He's like the bad boy of golf, right?
Yeah, but I guess he is. He rubs people the wrong way. Like he's
right.
He's like always bragging about his newfound like he discovered the key to golf.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, if it works for you, like his clubs are all the same length. They all got thicker grips. So he plays golf in a completely different way, which is fine, except like you didn't invent the game. Shut up. Just go out there and play. I hate guys that yap.
Yeah.
That's why I hate that Jordan Spieth. He's a little yapper.
Is he?
Yeah, he's always yapping about something. They're like moving around and yapping. Shut up and play golf.
Maybe it's like, is that like a generational thing, maybe?
I have no idea. Most guys aren't like that.
Right.
Spieth is a little too wordy, and DeChambeau's obnoxious. He never makes a mistake. He's like, they call him the official. He hits a ball out of bounds. He goes, well, that ball's in. He's arguing with the official who says, no, it's out.
Yeah.
He's made a ruling. Well, you know, like he never does anything wrong, this guy.
Because they're both, what, in their like mid-20s?
Well,
yeah.
Spieth has hit a wall in his career. This
right.
guy's like the up-and-coming guy, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, shut up and play golf. Golf's supposed to be quiet.
Right.
It's supposed to have decorum.
Yes.
Let's go to Jennifer in Albany, New York. Jennifer, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jennifer.
Hi. Yes, I'm calling about Hurts.
Yes, Jennifer.
I was glad today to hear about the possibility of not drafting a quarterback. That mm-hmm. made me happy. And I've actually liked hearing Hurts during practice conferences. Mm-hmm. I actually thought he speaks very well.
Yeah, he looks like he has some leadership qualities to him. I just don't know if he has the ability qualities.
Right, and I agree. And I don't know as far as one way or the other how I think he's going to do on the field, but I just am looking forward to seeing that because, as I said, I do like him personally as far as leadership, but mm-hmm. I'm just interested in seeing what he does and hoping he does well.
I am the same way, Jennifer. I think, like, Eagle fans are, like, when football season rolls around, that's the one hook that you have to watch him to see if this guy can make magic because he's got some right. ability to do that. So that's going to be intriguing. The only problem is they're not good.
Right. No. And it's sad because it's interesting being an Eagles fan living in New York.
mm-hmm.
But it is sad, but I still watch them, and it's still depressing watching them. Yeah. But
well, you're in the state capitol there. There's a lot of action going on with that governor.
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
Oh, yes. The whole
they're asking him, the billboards, in Albany, asking him to resign. How do you feel about the Andrew Cuomo thing?
I try not to think about it too much.
Uh-huh. Would you like to see him resign?
I have mixed feelings. Some of what he's done, I feel, has been helpful. And then there's other areas where it's like, yeah, not so much. Please leave.
Yeah.
And then I feel like upstate is divided between downstate, which doesn't help either.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, listen, I appreciate you calling today. And I appreciate you being a Philadelphia fan representing up there at the state capitol.
Yes. Thanks for letting me in.
All right, Jennifer. There you go. Cuomo looks like this wannabe Lothario.
Lothario?
You know, like, man about town.
Oh, yeah.
Lady killer type of guy, in addition to him being the governor. So, like, his act's probably tired.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't get why he has to be, like, what? Just don't be weird.
Yeah,
not that hard not to be weird.
You know, it's the important politician's power. Grab.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Most politicians have this fake power where they think more of themselves than they should.
Yeah. For sure. But I don't know why he thinks everybody would want to date him. Like, that's what I don't get.
Well, I guess he thinks he's a suave, debonair man.
Right.
I don't know. His brother's better looking than he is.
I concur.
But I hate his brother too.
Yeah. Chris.
He's annoying. All right. 610-632-0975 is how you climb in. The Mike Missinelli Show continues on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4:45. It's the Mike Missinelli Show on a Monday. It's funny because people are no flyer reaction. I'm really shocked at that. It was not a good loss for them last night, and it's now 2 in a row against good teams. And I wonder if people are starting to lose a little faith. I know it's only 2 games, but there's certain things against good teams that are telling. And last night, I don't think they responded for the first game with a semi crowd in it. You know, and you had the Pico power play and the whole thing. And, you know, some fans being really loud in there last night. No go. No game, no oomph.
I know, and I'm curious as to where they are. I mean, you brought it up.
It's funny.
You always try.
I hate to turn on the Flyers because I'm the one saying don't worry about a regular season loss. But when it comes to losing 2 of 3 in Pittsburgh and then coming home and losing to the Capitals. I mean, these are the good teams that you're going to contend with. So you got to assert some kind. They don't have, I guess they're good, but last year they were magic. Like every night you saw magic where they would dominate a team. And I'm not seeing that this year.
Well, and last year, and I think this year they are a deep team, but last year you looked at, you know, all 4 lines. And you could say any, you're going to get production from any one of these lines at any moment. And in fact, the first line probably was the least productive line of the four because you had, you know, Abbe Kubel was scoring. Obviously, Joel Farabee's been better this year, but it is, I think, you know, they brought in Derek Grant, Thompson. They were all playing well. They just had, something clicked last
year. This was supposed to be a younger, more energetic team. And right now, hey, listen, it's still regular season, so. Let's go to Raheem in Camden. Raheem, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Raheem.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Raheem?
You sound like the old grumpy man today, Mike. What's going on, Mike? Talk to me, man.
Why am I, what am I grumpy about?
Hey, right.
I have very righteous causes.
Mike, name a franchise that you would rather have, right, than the Eagles over the last 20 years. Got one of the most winningest franchises in football over the past 20 years that this owner has presided over, but you acting like we've been the Browns for the past 20 years. Mike, I don't understand. Well, they have five losing seasons in the last 20 years.
Right now,
you act like we the Browns.
Right now, they're the Browns. That's all. Mike, that's all I care about.
Mike, but don't you?
I don't go in the past to give credit. I look at what's in front of me, what's on my plate right now. Like, if I got meatloaf and mashed potatoes, I'm not thinking about what I had last week.
Mike, the best predictor of the future is the past, Mike. The best predictor of the future is the past. So if this owner has proven, oh, never get to produce a winning franchise, give him a little bit of rope, Mike. What's going on here?
I got a problem with an owner thinking that he knows talent. That's what I got a problem with.
He had the track record because he had the.
Well, but he didn't have a track record picking talent before. All of a sudden, he watches Saturday football and he got to draft Jalen Hurts.
He had one of the most winningest franchises in football the past 2 years.
Wait, he never meddled. Did he ever meddle? Did you ever hear Jeffrey Lurie? The report is that Jeffrey Lurie's the one that wanted Jalen Hurts. Who's Jeffrey Lurie to pick Jalen Hurts?
He had a track record picking good coaches, the Lions franchise, so he might know something that we don't know.
What do you mean? Who did he pick the good coaches? What? Who?
He picked Andy produced winning right away. He picked Chip. We don't like Chip, but Chip produced winning right away. And Doug produced a Super Bowl right away. Mike, that's a track record, Mike.
Dude, you gave me three flavors that melted.
But the right pick at the time.
Andy was okay, and then it went bad. Chip was a disaster because he gave him the store, and Doug Peterson turned out to be a dope.
Yeah, Mike, and they all went to the playoffs, Mike, and all had winning seasons more than losing.
Well, what do you got now?
And then,
you got sustained success?
And then the other caller called about the defense, and you acting like the defense a lot of produced the most.
Raheem, in your world, do people not get older?
Hey, Mike.
I don't know, what are you, the founding youth over there in Camden?
Hey, Mike. The defensive line produced the most sacks in football last year.
I got it. Fletcher Cox is a year older. Barnett has not really been consistent at all, and he gets hurt every other play. And Brandon Graham, he plays hard, I'll give him, but he's older too. Like, what are you counting on here? They don't have depth of defensive line. They don't have depth of linebackers. They don't have depth of cornerbacks. And they don't have depth of safeties. What are we talking about with this defense? Let's go to Miles in West Philly. Miles, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's up, Mike?
What's going on, Miles?
Hey, let me say this. I got a couple comments, though.
Go ahead.
That last comment, well, the Eagles, John. You're right with the D. Because I want him to get the ball from Alabama, the corner. Mm-hmm. That's who I want.
Sertain. You want Sertain?
Are he with the Duquesne?
Sertain.
Oh, yeah, Sertain.
Yeah, so that's what you want. And I'd be okay with that, too. They trade back. They get another pick. They take a starting corner. I'd be okay with that.
That's what I want. Because then you got Slay and Sertain, and you can be worried about the other stuff later on D.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the you was talking about the, something different with the All Star.
Yeah, my ideas are brilliant, don't you think, Miles?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I said my ideas are brilliant, don't you think?
Well, what I was going to say was, one of the things I like about what they did was they made the fourth quarter untimed, and they gave it a score limit.
Yeah, they did
it last year. I didn't watch it last year.
Yeah, the All-Star game itself is great. I love it. I don't care what form it is. I love to see those guys exhibit their talent. I'm talking about the skills competition.
I would rearrange. I don't watch the skills contest. I watch the three point and the dunk, but not the skills joint.
All right, well, I'm changing the dunk contest too. I want high schoolers and college dunkers involved against the NBA.
That'd be tremendously
interesting. You got teams, a combined team of high school and college dunkers versus the NBA. That would bring out the pride of the NBA players to the point where the great dunkers in the game who skirt that competition anymore, you got unknowns in there. Well, now I'm not going to lose to the high school college kids. So all the great veteran players would be in there.
I don't see a problem with that. I think that would be super interesting. Super interesting.
And the skills competition? A little gadget on top of the backboard. It drops the ball off the front rim. It bounces high in the air. Player in the skills competition has to snatch it, outlet it to like a some kind of billboard of sorts, and then run to half court. Somebody flips him the ball, and he's got to maneuver past real defenders, get to the basket either in a layup or a dunk. And then on the way back down, do the same thing, maneuver, stop, pop, jump shot, and then you back off to the 3-point line and you make it. And whoever completes that task in the shortest amount of time wins the skills competition.
So with the rebound, are you rebounding against somebody else?
No, you're just rebounding. The rebounding where you position your body and snatch and then outlet.
I'm all in.
You can't do it any other way. You can't put a person there because that person might get the rebound in front of you.
You got to get another one. Make the time go up and up.
No, it's just bounce high. You make sure you get this teardrop drops the ball, hits the front of the rim, and bounces up. And that exhibits how high you get on the snatch, too. You see where I'm going with that?
I'm in.
All right. 5 o'clock hours. Hey, we got one open line. 610-622-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's the 5 o'clock hour. Where has the time gone today? 5 o'clock hour brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Buy any window or door, get the second to 50% off. Plus, interest-free financing up to 18 months. Call Guided Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. All right, you got March Madness starting next week, the tournament starting next week. So you got to go to our website, 97.5 The Fanatic, because you can register for a perfect bracket that will win you $1 million. I kid you not, it's $1 million. Now, you might think there's no way you can get it perfect. And you would have good reason to think that because nobody in history has done it, but it doesn't mean it can't happen. So take a shot. It's like you buy a lottery ticket, right? This time you're using your expertise. You actually have more control over this than a lottery ticket.
And this one's free to enter.
There you go.
You don't even have to buy the lottery ticket.
Just go to our website, 97.5.com, and register for our bracket madness. All right, back to the phones. Lynn in North Jersey. Hello, Lynn.
Hey there. How are you?
Good. Happy Women's Day.
Thank you. Same to Natalie. I can't same to you. But anyway, so I said I wanted to talk about OnlyFans and Eagles, but a quick Flyers thing.
Okay.
Two problems with the Flyers. A, their power play is absolutely abysmal.
Yeah, it is. It's horrible.
It's horrible. Yeah. They allow the opposing team to spend way too much time around our net.
Mm-hmm.
And like they'll finally get up the other end of the ice, they're there for like 10 seconds, and then they're back down. And it's just the law of averages that the opposing team is going to get a goal. Because they got to figure something out. I love my Flyers, but they need to figure something out.
No, I agree with you. But this power play thing has been going on for a while. They usually think it was the coach, like the power play coach. You know, it comes down to guys that just click. You know, talented offensive players, they click. They're six for their last 47? That's 12.8%.
I know. And there were a couple times they had 5-on-3 and they still couldn't score. Like, they're, that's just, yes. They need to fix that.
No good.
Or they're never going to get anywhere in the playoffs.
I hear you.
Fix that.
Mm-hmm.
Eagles. It seems to me like they have no long-term plan whatsoever. They're just flying by the seat of their pants year by year, and that is just no way to run a team.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that, too.
It's just, I'm just so mad at them right now. I love them, I watch them, but I'm just really mad at them right now. The OnlyFans thing.
Yes.
Obviously, it depends on the couple, the conversation they had. Obviously, it doesn't bother him.
Mm-hmm.
It's making the money if she's paying for schools, kind of like strippers, you know. Plenty of people were strippers in college.
Yeah.
I watched male strippers back in the day, and it was amazing how many of them were actually married, and some of them, their wives were also strippers. But as far as...
if you're both in the industry, you can understand right. It a little better. Like, this guy's an IT guy, the husband.
Got it. I mean, maybe he just gets a little excited by this.
I think he does. I think he gets excited that other people are leering after his wife, yeah. Which is like a badge of honor for him.
Yeah, it could be. You know, if I had a hot dude and people were looking at him, I'd be like, yep, that's mine. That's his.
Uh-huh. But then that leaves her vulnerable to another hot dude coming her way who's hotter than the guy she's married to.
That's true. It's all about trust. And like with your stripper thing, when they came home, yeah, shower, please. Don't even
shower.
Without showering. You got to hose yourself off. Don't even come near me until you hose yourself off.
Yeah, so what would you think if your husband says, I'm okay with that. In fact, I'm going to take your pictures.
I don't know. That'd be kind of weird. I mean, I don't have that kind of body, but...
Have you considered it?
No, I don't have the hot bod to do that kind of sort of thing. Maybe 2 years ago, I'd be like, you know.
Yeah, I got it. I got it, Lynn. It's to each his own, whatever makes them happy. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. She also adds, like, he's quoted in this story. His name is Stark, by the way. It's not Jason. He says, I'm sure there are some people who would say, you take photos of your wife? Why would you do that? And I'm like, my view of happiness and love is different from yours. If this is something you couldn't do or you don't want to share your wife's beauty, then I'm sorry. I feel differently about it.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. Everybody has their boundaries.
But how about, like, she gets so, she trips on this so much. Like, she's working out to keep her body in shape, and she meets Mr. Handsome, Muscly Trainer.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they go, well, we both have to say we're bonded by our bodies.
Right.
Now, Mr. Picture Taker is out.
I mean, I guess he has to know that that's a risk, right? Isn't that a risk in any relationship?
I think he's riding high right now, but he's like, he's swimming with sharks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
All fun and games till you get your eye poked out.
That's right.
Let's go to Sean in media. Sean, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
Hey, Mikey Miz, what's up, bud?
What's up, Sean?
So just to recap for me real quick what this thing was with the woman and the picture taker. What was that?
Yeah, there is this site called OnlyFans. And it's women who post provocative pictures of themselves, and they charge per month a subscription. And so this particular one, the husband is the one taking the pictures. And so he's posting all these exotic pictures of his wife, and she's making money. It's making extra money for the family.
Right.
So, all right. I mean, listen, I can't judge here. I'm just saying, you know, like, I'm curious to know, like, guys, mostly guys listen to this show. I'm curious to know if guys would be secure enough to do that.
Well, and that's why I quoted it, and because I got the tail end of it. And, like, I've met you before, Fan Fest, and I was actually a runner-up for the last Dream Job competition in 2013.
Oh, okay.
When Kwame were on.
Uh-huh.
And then you met my wife down at FanFest once, and me and her together, and you looked at me, and you looked at her, and you said, you outkicked your coverage a little bit.
I did say that? That was so rude of me to say that. That was terribly rude of me to say that. You should have punched me in the head.
Well, no, it's completely fine because, you know, everyone says that all the time.
Okay, like, so, this is interesting then. This is perfect. Well, so have you considered...
My wife's the most beautiful woman in the world, and I think every guy should think that his wife is the most beautiful woman in the world.
You know, thought about doing the OnlyFans thing to make some extra coin? And how does she feel about that?
Listen, Mikey, I'm 5'6", I'm Irish, I I'm the most insecure guy in the world, okay?
Uh-huh.
I might sound like I'm 6'6" on the phone and on the radio, okay? But no, I cannot. I don't even want my wife to leave the house. I'm so scared of that. That she'll wake up one day and realize, what the hell am I doing here for 7 years with this bitch?
Well, then you better keep this story away from her, Sean.
Oh, I know. Well, no, I actually just told her.
Oh, really?
Before she was leaving the house, I said, I have to call Mike Yavis because I'm trying to tell the end of this story. And, like, everyone that always, they're like, what? But, like, for it works. She loves me. I love her. And I'm not a horrible-looking guy, but I definitely think
I'm
that,
sure you're a handsome man, Sean.
And that's what everyone always says. I got a face for radio is what Mom always used to tell me.
Well, listen, good luck to you, man. And then, hey, you know, listen, Mike, this woman's page brings in an average of $6,000 every month.
Wait a minute. Wait. Can you repeat what you said?
$6,000 every month this woman brings in.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, I'm going to have to
read that. All right, Sean. Good luck to you. I cannot believe I would have said that to him. I must have had a sense that he was a joker.
Yeah.
So I was probably joking around with him.
Yeah.
But that's a rude thing to say, isn't it? Should hit me over the head with a club.
I mean, it's like a backhanded compliment.
I must have had a few in me.
Probably
had a few Coronas. All right, let's go to Ed in Wilmington. Ed, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed.
Mike, how are you?
What's up, Ed?
Mike, you might as well just said, yeah, you're way over your skis. I mean, that is...
I'm telling you, I had suckled a couple limes before I said that to my man.
I wouldn't know how to take that, but I think that's an invitation to disaster as far as a good relationship goes. And, you know, if you can ride that wave, I guess so. But in the end, it's short-lived, and I don't think it works in the long term.
Well, I don't know. This guy is totally content with it. In fact, he described his wife's appeal as, quote, a little bit like her superpower. I've never met anyone who came across Kelly and didn't adore her in some way. Who am I to get in the way of that?
Well, that's true.
That's why he's bagging $6,000 a month.
That's right. But nobody owns anybody. And you're right about some fitness trainer and all that. But I think that no matter how pretty they are, that still does not have any longevity, I don't think. I really...
They have sons that are 21 and 24, bro. That's longevity.
Well, the crash is coming.
Okay.
But I think that I just want to touch on the Flyers. I usually on All-Star Weekend, NBA All-Star Weekend, it's also NHL Day in America, so I watch a lot of NHL, and I've been watching a lot of the NHL East just to see what the Flyers are up against. Their last good game was against Penguins when they came back from 3-0. It was a very exciting game.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were totally gassed yesterday. I also think what I didn't know was Washington's got a little size to them, and they got like public enemy number one in Tom Wilson, who just got 7 games for an incident last week with Boston.
Yeah, I saw the hit. He should have got 7 games. It's ridiculous.
It was brutal. It was concussion type hit.
There's no reason for it.
And Boston immediately after Wednesday's game last week, Mike, went out and got a guy from Nashville who drove 17 hours from Nashville to Boston to get in a fight with Wilson.
Really?
In that game.
That's old style. You know?
I know, it is a little bit.
That's old style. That's old, you know, vigilante hockey.
I am kind of digging it. I'm watching the NHL East. And so we got our hands filled with Washington, Boston.
Pens
are hanging around, but we're not done yet. We're going to be okay. We might not have the sizes of the Caps, maybe, but I wouldn't be afraid to use Elliott because I think he's been the more solid, and I like her a lot.
Are you saying that you would let Elliott win the number one job here? Is that what you're saying to me?
You would create that kind of controversy? Try it, Mike. I wouldn't be afraid to try it.
I don't think you could do that to the Kiss. That's like Winston him.
No, it isn't. That kid's tough.
Well, I don't know about losing your job, how that would feel.
I think short term you could consider it. Get you back into playoff standing. Elliott's been better this year, objectively.
So, when you go into the playoffs, though, you want your number one to be Carter Hart, right?
Correct.
All right. So, well, that's the thing. If you do that now and Elliott emerges as the guy that's more reliable, you go into the playoffs with him, then what are you doing to your young goaltender? Well, I'm messing him up, Teasel.
I often wonder, like, you compare it to, you know, Carey Price not playing in 2010, right? It was, I think it was Huey that started that series.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, it's the young goaltender.
All right, anyway, the Flyers tomorrow night at Washington again. No, wait, no, where are they? No, I'm sorry, that's my bad. Let me get on this path here. So they got Jersey at Jersey, which should be a W. Oh, that's postponed. Now, Buffalo next. Yeah, what am I talking about? Buffalo next, and then double with Washington here.
It's absolutely imperative.
Three home
tomorrow.
Games. Buffalo should be a two-pointer, and then you got the Caps again, and then you go on the road for four straight on the road. Rangers, Islanders.
Yeah, it's a rough 2 weeks.
It is. All right, let's go to Dave in Center City. What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's new, guy?
What's going on?
Hey, Mikey, Miss, before I pick your brains on your family's wild vacation, my father, 8 straight years, the same week of the baseball All-Star game, Madison Motel in Margate. I watched, 9 straight All-Star games from the Madison Motel. Mikey Miss, God rest his soul, give me at least one story of John Missinelli Sr.'s penny pitching ways in Wildwood.
Well, we stayed at the hotel was called the Tides Inn. It had a wooden porch, and we had to share a bathroom in the hallway.
Okay.
And it's no longer there. But I wanted to go on the boardwalk to play games, and I had to lie to him because he was the type of guy who wouldn't give you money unless it was for food. He would never give you money to play the games. So I would starve and say, like, ask him for money, and he would think I was getting food with it, but I would play the games.
Were you victimized by the famous outdoor shower instead of the indoor shower?
Well, we use the outdoor shower a lot. And coming off the beach before you get into the hotel, use the outdoor shower, yes.
Yeah.
But in that tradition, I have an outdoor shower at my place at this shore. It's for old time's sake. Yeah.
Yeah. Mike, I'm a huge fan of Blake Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily for the Sixers, he does his best work on Comedy Central Celebrity Roast, flirting back and forth.
Yeah, well, hear this. The Nets just got Blake Griffin, and they become the favorite to win the NBA title.
Mike, he has nothing left.
I think the same thing, but in Vegas, it has influenced them to push the Nets to the top of the heap. I don't know what that's about. I was talking about acquiring Blake last week in conjunction with Kyle Lowry. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he, like, playing with a good team has a way of giving you a little resurgence. He'll probably help them.
Speaking of numbers and odds, right now the Eagles are 24th choice to go to the Super Bowl in Los Angeles.
Well, there you go. Now you, Mr. Optimism. I know you're going to pick them to win 10 games next year, right?
Well, last year, the total over-under was 10. They came nowhere near that. The totals are not out yet, Mikey Miss.
Yeah.
Assuming the Eagles have a successful draft, what do you think Vegas will install that number at?
5.
Oh, my. Are they going to be that bad?
5. 5's the number. I'm telling you, it's going to be 5. You agree with that, Teasel?
Yeah, the minute he asked, I said 5.5 or 6.
Yeah. You think 6?
I think they might.
6 is like stealing money to go.
Yeah,
under.
If they give you 6, take the under.
All right. There's one open line. You can get in if you want to grab it. 610-622-0975. Let's go to Will in King of Prussia. Will, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Will?
So, normally I wouldn't call with a golf topic, but I figured since it's kind of a slow time with the coming off the All-Star break and all that, I could get in there. This DeChambeau, I mean, golf produces a lot of unlikable guys. He's about the most unlikable guy I have ever
seen. Now, why do you dislike him? What's the reason?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, in sports, in every sport, there's guys that are cocky and arrogant, mm-hmm. and then there's guys that are whiny and complain a lot. He's both.
You're absolutely right. He's exactly both.
Somehow he is both. He's both. When he's good, he's the best in the world, and he's telling us how he's the greatest thing in the world, and he can drive it 500 yards if he wants to.
Yeah.
And when things don't go his way, he either blames the golf course or he blames the officials. But you know, that being said, I don't see where you see that with Spieth. I mean, I think Spieth's actually a likable guy.
He's such a little.
There's a lot I like about him.
He never shuts up. He's always yapping about something. Shut up and play golf.
What do you think?
He's always yapping. He's always got something to say. Shut up. Hit your shot.
Do you like Justin Thomas? I was wondering if you liked him.
I used to like him a little bit, but he walks around. He's moping all the time, and then he used that anti-gay slur. You know, so he's out. I hate them all. The Euros I like. Like, I like Rory. He's a Euro. There's nothing to dislike about Rory. But look at that. Dustin Johnson, he's not offensive, but he's a bonehead.
Yeah,
I kind of like Colin Morikawa, like the new kid on the scene. He looks like a nice fella.
I like him, too.
And I like Xander Schauffele. I like him, too.
Yeah.
That's about it. The rest of them are like, there's no likability factor for any of those guys. Kepka's like a meathead.
Yeah. Who's he? Him and DeChambeau fought, right? Didn't they fight?
Yeah, they don't fight. They snip at each other on Twitter.
Right,
like
that's
one,
right.
One of those little, you know, the brat fights.
Yeah. They're just beefing.
Yeah. Little Twitter beef. Glenn in Center City. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Glenn.
Hey, let me get you off the speaker, brother. Let me get you off the speaker. Can you hear me, Mike?
Yes, go ahead, Glenn.
Okay, look, you know, this is your boy who came with that cream on that night, that day. In the
suit? Oh,
that cream.
Oh, yeah.
That cream on.
Absolutely.
I ain't talking to you for a while. I'm in Virginia right now, but I had to call in because we're talking about there's no etiquette in the world right now.
Yes.
Like you said, when somebody's sitting there talking to somebody in the car, you know, somebody's in back of you. You don't honk the horn. Like Landy said, you give a little quick, like a little tap.
The toot.
But, you know what I mean? But after 3 minutes, you know what I mean? It's going to be a loud horn.
There's no common courtesy. I mean? Like, I'm always aware of my surroundings. Like, who am I standing in front of? Like, the grocery store all the time. It's like, there's no common courtesy. It's like you're the only person in the grocery store. You got your fat butt sticking out, leaning over to find a can of tomato paste, right? And you're imposing your will on me. I'm trying to get by.
Yeah, you got these people on them carts staying in the middle of the aisle all the time. It's moving social distance.
I don't understand it. There are people that are like in your world. Believe it or not, there are other people in your world.
Exactly. But let me say something, Mike. But like, you know how, like, if I'm driving down the street, yeah, you know, I mean, I see somebody I know and they're about to walk into the car and say, hold up, let me pull over or park. Or meet me at the corner.
Exactly.
You know,
just pull over and have your conversation.
You know there's going to be people because I'm not the only car on the planet. You know what I mean? I got to pull over. You want to run your mouth and talk about something. Then you got people that's talking with their butts out, talking to the driver, and you got cars coming by.
Exactly. Listen, if the conversation is that important, say, I'll call you on the cell. You know, you don't have to pick that time to have the convo.
But, Mike, but you know, people are like talking with your butt out in the street where the traffic is. You could get hit by somebody on a cell phone.
That's what I'm saying. They're oblivious. They're oblivious to anybody else in the world.
Let me say something, Mike. Have you ever driven down the street and you see people walking in the street where the car is at? I always yell out, nobody is driving on the pavement. I always yell that out. No one is driving on the pavement. Or if there's a truck in front of a car. You know, they scared to go around. I'd be like, gas, what that mean? Go around to the honey I see. You know I mean? Go around it. The glasses are on.
I'll say,
UTF, what that mean? Utilize the earth, like, go around. The earth is big.
Utilize the earth.
UTF, utilize the bleeping earth. Go around it. Go around. I'll be snapping out.
I hear you, Glenn.
They drive me crazy, Mike. They drive me crazy every day. every day.
I got you, man. There's just that, there's just no common courtesy. It's like people don't think there are other people around. It's like their own little world. It's like, that's just one example. Like the street convo.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, there's somebody behind me. I'll call you later. All right. You know, that's why I ask people, like, what's the breaking point before you hit the beep? Like, how many seconds have to go by?
I don't know.
It's the same in a red light, too.
Yeah.
How many seconds go by? Invariably, the person in front of me will wait 23 seconds of the 25-second red light, and the 22nd second, look down to fuss with something.
Yeah,
They waited already 22 seconds. It's the 23rd second where they're fussing with something on their passenger seat.
Yeah.
And then the light turns green. And I see you there looking down. How many seconds go by before the toot?
For me?
Yeah, I usually wait. I have common courtesy. I don't want to spook anybody, so I don't beep right away.
I mean, I probably give it about 10 seconds.
10.
10.
That's a long time.
That is
maybe
a long
less.
Time. I thought you were saying you would give him a little tap first.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like this.
Maybe not. Maybe not 10. Maybe 5.
Yeah.
5 like Mississippis.
Yeah, grocery store is interesting because you don't know when to say, excuse me.
Right.
Your cart is being blocked.
Yeah.
You turn the corner. You turn the corner and go in an aisle. And there's somebody right at the front of that aisle.
Yeah.
Doing the vertical bend.
Right.
Right, or the horizontal bend. And you go, and you wait. Like, how long do you say, excuse me? Like, in other words, get out of the way. That's the tone I use when I wait enough time. But how much time has to go by?
Probably, I don't know. Because you're trying to maneuver around. Like, that should be a no-brainer, I think.
Who would think that there isn't anybody else in the store? That's my question.
There are people who are oblivious, I feel.
All right. I give it a good 5 seconds.
That's fair.
And then I go, I'll get more irritated the longer I go.
Yeah.
Like after 5 seconds, I'll give it a polite, excuse me.
Yeah. That's the tone. Excuse me.
And after 10, excuse me. Like, I gotta give it that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We have our final Twitter poll numbers, and we'll squeeze a couple calls before we get the sound off. Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's time for the final Twitter poll numbers.
Yep, it's brought to us by Paul McMoyer and Sons. You know, a snowblower right now would be a great idea,
even if you don't think snow is going to come, because then you would have it for next winter. They've got parts, also a full-service repair shop to service your snowblower. Or if you have a snowblower, it's on the blink. Just visit them in person or check them out online at paulbmoyer.com. Final numbers, Natalie.
All righty, Mike, over 800 votes on this one today. Do you have more confidence in the Eagles this upcoming draft now that it appears they won't draft a quarterback? 32% say yes. More confident, 68% say no. Still Howie Roseman.
Are we sure they're not going to draft a quarterback? Is that what it means?
That's apparently what it means.
Like, we're rounding it off, and Lori says we should build around Jalen Hurts, but they are a quarterback developing factory.
They are.
So who knows
what
they're going to do. All right, let's get back to the phones. We'll talk to Jerome at Elkins Park. Jerome, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, buddy?
Afternoon, man.
How are you?
You're good. You know, these are the 5 or 6 people, so we are the ones that are not going to be left behind. But with the present thing of the pandemic and everything else, you'd kind of think people would kind of gather their thoughts that, you know, we're going to try to get back to normal and maybe sitting and being, you know, a complete, you know, just think about things that take place, so-called normal, could use some alterations. You know, I mean, I just kind of find it funny because I imagine you're thinking, where am I going with this?
Like, I am thinking exactly what? That.
Yeah, you've the patience of a hummingbird, Mike. Love you. It's like it's like people who tailgate, you know, at great speed. And you wonder, you know, where are you going? You got to be in my, you know, back behind my seat, you know, as far as driving are.
That's a total annoyance.
You know, or, you know, you go in a store and you buy a pound of bacon and a guy goes, you want a bag? No, I really don't want to walk out of here with a pound of bacon beef. So, you know, and I'm not that sensitive a kind of guy. I mean, of course, I mean, you get three or four items and do I need a bag? What? I'm a juggle? It's a little too early. It's like I wait till 12 until I want to juggle.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good one. I've had that happen to me.
Say, well, which answers I'm going to give?
Yeah, it usually happens at a Rite Aid. Like if I get a couple items, you want a bag? Yeah, I kind of would like a bag.
Yeah, I mean, it's so,
you know, I don't want anybody to see this big box of condoms that I have taken.
Oh, well, no, speak on it.
you know what I'm saying?
Stuff it under your jacket. Yeah. What's that bulge? Are you happy to see me?
Yeah,
I
hear you.
But I moved to what I really wanted to call you about. Mm-hmm. And I'm not calling to change anybody's mind or place blame. And I'm going to make trick is try to get to the point. It's 3 minutes and a cloud of dust here. But I'm hoping Odubel Herrera hits 400. I know the type of thing that is heinous as far as what has happened. You know, the young lady that it happened with, and they're still together, fortunately, and he spoke. But I don't like, and I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm talking to you, to Natalie, and to the gentleman there sitting in front of Tyrone.
Yeah, it's Tyler Zoli, yes.
Yeah, Tyler, yeah, thank you for that. And I knew his name when I seen him. That, you know, the same people who could just forget or overlook, say, Brett Myers would play. I still remember his wife sitting on the sidewalk, tears coming down, and say, I'm not going to take this treatment anymore. Mm-hmm. And yet the fans were cheering like crazy because he's fouling off about, you know, footballs when he was at the plate.
Yeah, so what are you saying? That Odubel should not be here?
No. I'm saying that this is an important thing. I won't say I commend the Phillies, but to give him this, not an opportunity. I have made a mistake. You made a mistake. Somebody put the squelch on you, and I give you the benefit of the doubt. It was probably somebody who's recognized you and came at you, and you responded.
This is domestic violence, bro. It's not a mistake, okay? And like I said, if somebody else, Major League Baseball, wants to give him a chance, then knock themselves out. I don't want the stain to carry here. I don't think fans should have to be put in that kind of a position where they're weak and they're going to go for the guy that can help their team instead of doing the right things. And the Phillies have opened that avenue for fans. And that's why I think it's heinous of the Phillies to even bring this to light where fans can make a decision and say, oh, he's going to help our team. We should keep him. That's the Phillies' problem because fans are weak. They're not going to stand up against the guy if the guy can help their team because their team comes first instead of the right thing, which is to be against domestic violence. So this second chance crap does not work for me when it comes to this. Get a second chance. He wants a second chance. He's got a second chance at life. He can live happily ever after with the woman if he wants, if she wants to stay with him, or he can get a job with another team. Let's go to Val in East Mount Airy. Val, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Val?
Hi, I'm a first-time caller.
Hello, Val. How you doing?
I'm good. I love your show. I watch it during work, but now I'm off, so now I can actually call.
I appreciate that, Val. Thank you for joining us on National Women's Day.
Thank you. And that's what I want to say, too. Thank you for actually putting that out there, that it is National Women's Day, because it is a male-dominated field, and I appreciate Miss Natalie. She's so cute and perky.
She is perky.
Yes. Thank you. I just want to talk about the woman of the. I think she's being objectified. I don't care what her husband does.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's definitely objectified.
They have children. I mean, you know, you think about it for a minute and then you say, wait a minute. What am I doing? You know, all money isn't good money. Really? Come on.
You know, I was thinking about this. They had two sons, right? I wonder if they had daughters, whether she would be okay with that.
She got something in her head wrong, possibly, but no, she's setting a bad example for
for daughters and sons, because then they're going to look at her funny when they go out to meet women. Like, okay, I want her because she. No, I just think it's wrong. I don't know what kind of morals and values they have as a family. You go, money's money, but you know, it doesn't mean you have to go out there and do things. But if that's what she likes to do, she enjoys it. I don't know. I mean.
No, I get it. Listen, everybody, they can do whatever they want. I'm not judgmental when it comes to that. I'm just worried. It's if you need the money and that's easy money for you and you can, you think it's flattering that you're doing that and you're okay with it and you're secure, fine. I don't know, like the sons, how would they feel about their mom? There's a lot of things to consider.
Exactly. As far as the double parking, I'll beep the horn in a second, but I stopped doing that because sometimes I'm not paying attention, and then I get beeped and I get a little tense about it. When I
and that's why I don't beep until I let a reasonable amount of time go by, because I don't want to be a pain in the butt. But it's the common courtesy that rankles me. It's like no one else exists in your world and. You're not inconveniencing anyone. That's what I don't understand. Because I'm always worried about inconveniencing somebody whenever I'm anywhere. I never put my butt in the aisle to look for a can of soup.
No. I have a question. Yeah. How long do you wait when you're holding a door at like Wawa for the person? What's the measure?
I'll wait for a really long time.
Okay.
Someone coming from their car, I will wait there.
And then
now
if you see someone holding the door for you, do you do like the awkward like half?
I run. I do the half run. That's common courtesy,
right?
You don't want to convince somebody else to hold the door. They want to get in there and do something too, like grab a cup of Wawa coffee or whatever.
Yeah,
I got you.
How far are you required to like? Because I know people will hold it for like you're still like strides away, and people start to hold it. How far are you required to do that? Like. Quick walk.
It all depends. Like if I'm getting out of a car and I look up and I'm on my way in and I'm 25 feet away and there's holding the door, I'll rush. I don't want an inconvenience.
Oh, really? That far?
Oh yeah. Okay. If I see someone that is holding the door and I make the eye contact that they're holding it for me, what I owe them is to be as quick as possible.
So do you think it's acceptable if you're like 25, 30 feet away to just go like? No, go ahead. Thank you, though. You know what I mean?
I'll do that sometimes. Okay. Yeah, but usually I'll take advantage of it.
Okay.
Well, here's another thing is like going through a crosswalk. When you're making a turn and they have the cross, if I'm the crosser, I always rush my cross so the car can get by. I see a lot of people will go into extra slow mode. Have you seen that?
They take their time.
Exactly, because they know a car has to get by, so they're in control. So they'll slow it down and milk that walk for as long as they can, which I don't understand either. Because if I'm in that situation, if I'm inconvenienced in a car, even though I have the right of way, I'll rush through the crosswalk.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way. Plus, I just don't want to be out in the middle of the street.
Yeah, well, they have it's a protective shield. Because they have the hand that is like the white hand is the go hand
right
so they see that and they think they have protection from the car, which they do, so they'll slow it down and even be snide about it.
Right.
Yeah, this is my crosswalk.
Yeah.
Now I run
too. Do a little skip.
Just think it's common courtesy, not to inconvenience people. Sound off's coming our way on the Mike Missinelli Show at 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. Time for you to sound off.
You gotta be faking me.
beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Let's keep going. Sound off.
All right, it's time for Sound Off on this lovely Monday in the Delaware Valley. Sound Off line is 610-771-9705. So if you got something to say, hit us up on that line, leave a message, and we'll process them all and put together a neat little package we call Sound Off. Let's go.
Mike, here's why I don't like meddlesome owners. They should just write paychecks. When you're meddle and you don't know what you're doing, it makes the thing on your team worse. Daniel Snyder down in Washington. Obviously, the biggest one is Jerry Jones. You know, Jimmy Johnson built that team that won, but Jerry Jones wanted to take all the credit. I look at it like this. Jeffrey Lurie, you look like you don't know anything about sports. Get out the way, get yourself a good front office, and you would win more Super Bowls.
Well, that's what I always thought the owner was responsible for doing. You hire the experts in the field that you don't know. The things that you don't know, you hire experts. That's what I always thought of knowing. Now, because of Jerry Jones, he's got a football background. So, I have a little bit, I don't care what he does with that team. But if I was a fan, I go, well, he at least has a football pedigree. I mean, what Lurie doesn't have that. Let others do it.
What could they do to make the All-Star game slightly better? And they're flying up and down the court, and then the timeout gets called, and it just, like, shuts the game down. I'm thinking what they need to do is just try it for 1 year, almost like a hockey sub, where guys can be subbed in and out during game. Maybe you got to pass half court, and then a guy got to run over and kind of tag another guy in, just to keep the game going and keep the action flowing.
That's not bad. I mean,
I kind of like that.
Yeah, it's not bad. If hockey does it, I guess you can make the same case for basketball. Those guys are gassed going up and down. They tag out.
And you don't have to jump over the boards.
Yeah, but see, with fast breaks and stuff, it's probably impossible to do it.
Jeffrey Lurie, telling your front office to build a team around that loser. He doesn't even belong in the NFL. Leave him with the same crap that Carson Wentz was left with. Quarterbacks to the receivers. Guys that don't even belong in the league, and see what he could do. Be proud, Jeffrey Lurie. You're not a number four franchise in Diddy. You're even worse than Middleton in the Philly. It's you goof.
It's our Shenandoah hater. listen, Jalen Hurts is not bad. he might be something. I my only beef is with the people who have seen something already that I don't think is there yet. That's all.
I'd like to sound off about the NBA All-Star game tonight. The fact that the Sixers, Joel Embiid, and Ben Simmons cannot play because of contact with their barber. It's a shame. These guys got clipped in more ways than one.
Ah, so you play on words there.
Yeah.
Well, they want to get a freshie to look good for the All-Star television telecast, so you can't blame them for getting a little clip.
No.
Right?
Well, Shaq said, too. They all do it.
Yeah.
They just happen to be in the wrong spot.
They have it. Now, they didn't get introduced, which I thought was a violation. Should have introduced them.
Right.
Like, I think when I look at it, and I look at what the Sixers have done, and they have a good general manager or a good coach, and if you look at the Phillies now, Dombrowski in there, Girardi, and then the Flyers with Chuck Fletcher and a good coach in there, I just don't understand. I don't like Howie, but what's made it worse is the support from Jeffrey Lurie has actually turned me off to even liking anything about the Eagles.
You know, a lot of people are in your category right now when it comes to that, but again, it's like we're powerless. Football is going to come around. We're going to have a storyline with the quarterback. And all this stuff is going to be forgotten. And we're going to just continue to follow them. And then get annoyed when they only win four games. So, all right, close it down, Tyler Zuli.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off. Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What are they?
Because I don't like
them. Bring it. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
See you later. All righty. Thanks, everybody, for listening today. And Tyler will follow this show. Tyler doing the 4-hour montage. Man, you're a hardest working man today.
Hey, it's a long hour. It's okay.
Tyler Julian for Devon following this show. So stay tuned for that on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Stay tuned for the win, Philly. And guess what? The Mike Mussinelli Show. Another chance to watch it at 7 o'clock on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Everybody have a great night out there. Be safe, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.